Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is TWiT.
Bandwidth for TWiT specials is provided by CacheFly at CacheFly.com.
This is TWiT Live Special number 202, recorded Monday, June 2nd, 2014, the WWDC keynote. Well, welcome once again to, Christmas, New Year's, and the 4th of July all rolled into one for the Apple fan. It is WWDC, the biggest Apple event of the year, the keynote speech coming up in about 15 minutes, and we're going to give you live coverage. Apple is streaming it. In fact, if you have an Apple TV, they've added a channel for it on your Apple TV. And, of course, you go to apple.com and get the stream there. We'll be watching that stream live and commenting. This is, let me introduce our panel, and then we'll talk a little bit about what we can expect later today, starting with Mike Elkin, our news director and host of TNT. And you filled in for me yesterday on TWiT. Thank you for doing that.
That was really hard, but it was a lot of fun. I had a great time.
Yeah, and I wore a suit to a rock festival, and I thought that was wrong. But I fit right in. Alex Lindsay is back from Africa. Nice to see you.
It's good to be back.
For a host of MacBreak Weekly, of course, longtime host of MacBreak, and yes. Another Apple watcher.
Yes.
I think we all have Macs here, so we qualify. Actually, Mike broke out the Mac instead of the iPad today.
That's right. I figure go all out. Why not do the expensive one?
Speaking of iPads, the host of iPad Today and i5 for the iPhone, Sarah Lane, is here also hosting.
Oh, hello.
Tech News Today. So we all got up a little bit early for a big event.
Why are we here anyway?
Until September and October, when Apple typically announces the iPhone and iPads, this is the one event. And it's as journalists, this is kind of like rainfall after a drought of 8 months. The last Apple event was October of last year.
Even if they announce a new icon for iOS,
we're going to jump on it.
It's big news.
Harry McCracken had a great article yesterday at Time. Actually, it was on his new Technologizer blog. He's left Time. Talking about WWDC and setting expectations. This is a developer's event. This isn't an event that is typically where you announce a lot of new products, although they have in the past.
They have, and I think that it's become more of a public event since they're not doing Macworld anymore. So they're, you know, I think that this has become one of the only scheduled event that I know of that Apple's going to do. Oftentimes we see
only
one
when
in the
they
fall.
Schedule more than a week in advance.
Exactly.
Yeah. We have, you know, Mark Gurman of 9to5 Mac said there would be new hardware. Others have said there will not be new hardware. One thing we are pretty sure of, in fact, given the pictures we've seen of the lobby at Moscone West in San Francisco, where the keynote will be held, there will be an iOS 8. We've seen a big 8.
Right.
And we've seen a Yosemite, a picture of Half Dome.
I think we had talked about
or
that.
Or was it El Capitan? It was El Capitan.
Yeah.
And that would presumably be OS 10, 10.10.
That's right.
Three tens. They could call it OS 30.
It's fine.
It was something bad you were going to say?
No, I was going to say something bad.
And that's one of the things they do at these events, really, because it is a developer's event. They talk about the new operating system, because the developers are going to get new hardware in the fall, but they're going to get, more importantly for them, a new operating system.
Now, I disagree with Harry McCracken in a small way, in that I don't think Apple is as predictable as it used to be. The ways that Apple used to go about deciding where to announce what was dictated by Steve Jobs. And as we've seen by other moves that Apple's been making lately, they're kind of gravitating away from the Steve Jobs Apple and toward the Tim Cook Apple. And maybe Tim Cook is going to decide to announce different types of things at the developers conference. I don't think we really know that.
Even with Steve Jobs running the show, it was not predictable. He moved the iPhone announcement from June to September. These things don't go year in, year out the same all the time.
And for many reasons, I think Apple doesn't want them to be predictable, because what you don't want is everyone expecting the iPhone launch to be at a certain date and stop buying iPhones, you know,
for 2 months. With the iPad, I mean, that Apple's pulled some curveballs already.
Yeah.
Surprised some people.
Yeah, in fact, they announced the iPad 4 only a few months after, months after the iPad 3.
Angered some people.
Angered me, because I had to buy you a new one.
Thanks, by the way. I really like it.
No, I don't mind buying many, many, many Apple products.
It's
as
research.
You know, I live to buy Apple products. One piece of hardware we might see is a pair of Beats headphones with an Apple logo on it. This, of course, not a surprise, given that they announced Friday that the Beats acquisition had gone through. It sounds like the timing is pretty good for Jimmy Iovine and Dr. Dre to take the stage today.
And that'll be easy to do. Just roll the celebrities out on the stage. Let people know that they're really part of the Apple family, but I don't think we're ever going to see Beats headphones with Apple logos.
Yeah. No, they said, in fact, they'd keep the brands separate.
Absolutely.
Alex has set up the question engine. I don't know how much time we'll have for questions, but depending on what goes on, I should just give you some program notes. We're going to cover this live through the end, which will probably be noon Pacific. We're expecting a two-hour keynote. Then we'll take a little bit of a break while Andy Iannocco and Renee Ritchie, hosts of MacBreak Weekly, who are in the room right now, drive up, and we'll do a MacBreak Weekly as soon as we can, as soon as they get here, which is probably about 1 p.m. Pacific time. For those who will tune in for iPad Today and Triangulation, iPad Today will be tomorrow, right, Sarah?
Yes, tomorrow at the regular time that Mac Break would be, so 11 a.m.
11 a.m. Pacific, yeah. 2 p.m. Eastern time, 1800 UTC. And we have a Triangulation already in the can with Jeff Pulver, the guy who really created voice over the internet single-handedly and founded the company Vonage. He is a really interesting fellow. We pre-recorded that a few weeks ago, and we'll get that on later today as Triangulation. So
people are hitting it pretty hard. It's fine.
The question engine's doing all right. What is the URL?
It is bit.ly/ WWDC special, and it looks like we have a lot of action. So I think one of our top questions from Hunter. I think it's Hunter. Beatty, I think, or Beat, from Nebraska. What are you looking forward to and hoping to see today?
That's a great question. Yes. In fact, that was my next question. Sarah Lane.
Yes. What do I want to see today?
What are you looking for?
You know, I don't really...
pop quiz time. Sarah Lane.
Yeah. Okay. So much pressure. I don't really think that we're going to... If we hear about any new hardware, I don't think we're going to see it. I think they might hint at stuff. It was funny. I was at the gym yesterday, and somebody was talking on his smartwatch, and he was like clearly dictating a message that he was going to send to somebody. He looked so dumb, and I thought, yeah, I don't know. I mean, it'd be nice if Apple can figure out how to make a smartwatch seem really cool, but I don't really know how that happens.
Yeah. Last year, all we could do is say 2014 will be the year of the iWatch, and then people started saying 2015 will be the year of the iWatch.
Yeah,
it's not going to be probably today.
I don't think so. I don't expect to see the iWatch. Although it makes sense from a developer's perspective to show, here's a new device. This is how you program for it. This is the kind of thing you could do with it. I mean, this would be the time to show an iWatch or an Apple TV, or if you opened up the Apple TV, the current Apple TV, not hardware, but just said, we're going to open this up to developers. We're going to have a watch that's open to developers. Those kinds of things are, this would be a great platform to do that.
You may not do it at the keynote. One of the things Apple does is they have, of course, this is a developers conference. The keynote is just the beginning.
Right.
There's tracks for the rest of the week. And what often happens, we're getting a picture now from Moscone Center, people gathering. The journalists and so forth. This is a very big hall. Can it hold almost what is
about 2,000 this is in Moscone West, I think, in the second floor.
This is where Steve Jobs announced the iPad, announced the iPhone. This is a very big venue. So there'll be the journalists get to go to this and then get kicked out, and then everybody who remains for the rest of WWDC is a registered developer and is under NDA. This is not under NDA, but the rest will be, and that for that reason there are usually blacked out tracks that will be available to developers, and that's in all likelihood where you're going to say things like here's what the iWatch screen resolution is.
But typically they would show this is the iWatch in the keynote.
They might, and then
the particulars of it would be the thing that comes later.
Yeah, there's no way that they would completely not mention a new product like an iWatch and then have developers talk about it, of course, because they would leak like a sieve. But Leo, I think the other thing that may be one of the most interesting things is the home automation. There's reports that they may have home automation program APIs and so on. And I think that's going to be
and health. Really, I mean, cool, we've seen them build a lot of stuff
health
around
book,
health.
iOS 8. I also expect, I think they might announce a 4K display. They have announced cinema displays at WWDCs in the past. I wouldn't be surprised if they announced a 4K display, since they put that in most recently in 10.9.3.
Meanwhile, at the venue, the folks have been told to switch their devices to silent, meaning
we're getting close.
Stop.
Will Jimmy Iovine or Dr. Dre take the stage? I say
they
yes.
Better.
I think at least Iovine will.
I was I have to say, and you know, I really was disappointed by the Apple Beats acquisition. And I'm further disappointed when Jimmy Iovine and Eddie Q did an interview at Recode at Kara Swisher and Walt Mossberg's event on, I think it was Thursday night. Eddie Q said the music industry is dying. Jimmy Iovine said, we're going to bring back the album. It was Steve Jobs who killed the album with a 99-cent track. the music industry is most emphatically, the music industry is dying. Music is not dying. And I think that what, this feels like a very reactionary move to bring back the music industry as we knew it.
It was strange because the way that he backed that up was on iTunes over the last year, we saw fewer new album releases than ever. But it's like, how are they going to change the recording industry, even though Iovine said, no, we're not going to be a label of any kind?
People have said we don't want albums.
Well, I think what they're going to do is...
Music industry killed the album by putting out a lot of crap with one or two hits on an album. That's who killed the album.
I think what's clear is that the money in the future for the music industry is not going to come from music. And I think they have this thing around in the music business since the 2007, 2008 called 360 deals, where instead of a regular record contract, the artist signs a deal to promote all kinds of other stuff, concerts, headphones, you name it.
Why don't you bring up the Moscone feed just so we can watch that? They don't need to see our faces. And we should point out that we will go live. We will play the Moscone feed, but we will be interrupting it. And the weather in Petaluma is beautiful. We're very glad to report that right now.
Yeah, we're having an audio issue that we're working on. So
there's an HDCP issue. Maybe we won't take it from the Apple TV. What if you take it from the web instead?
That's what we're trying to do. We're tackling it from both sides right now.
But if I may, just a little more context about the Beats deal. The music industry business has been changed twice in two big ways in the last decade and a half. The first was by Steve Jobs with iTunes. And the second was by these 360 deals. And Jimmy Iovine was instrumental in that whole program.
What are you talking about, 360?
360 deals is when instead of a record contract, you sign a contract for product placements.
Right.
And the Beats headphones system is all about celebrities endorsing individual headphones.
Which has not worked that well. I have to add, a lot of celebrities refused to, including Will.i.am, who's on the board. Madonna made a 360 deal with Live Nation that was really a concert deal, that albums were a follow-on. Mm-hmm. I think the music industry is vital. I just came back from a three-day rock festival in Napa where I saw a lot of unsigned bands that were fabulous. I think the music industry's changed out from under Apple and out from Jimmy, under the music industry and Jimmy Iovine. The last thing we need is a music industry bailout.
Well, but I think that some of the stuff that they said was accurate in that I do think that one of the problems right now is finding the new music, because we're not listening to radio and we are listening to Spotify but the problem is there's no context.
I agree. And Jimmy Iovine saying the artists, we're going to curate, that's radio. You came from radio. You were a music director. I was a music director. That's who picked the music. Today, and I know Sarah is a perfect example, it's our friends who pick the music. We use RDO because we want to know what our friends are listening to. That's always been the best source for music recommendations, not radio DJs.
Really. I don't think so. As a music director, I don't agree.
You come from that background.
But here's the thing is that your friends have a lot of, a variety of things. But there was definitely a lot of corruption even when I was there. I didn't get any of it, and I'm very bitter about that. But the issue was that you did have someone looking at that music that had a critical eye. So for instance, you want to have these tastemakers that really can hear that song, hear something and show it to you, that are listening to music all day. And so for instance, there was a guy, 91X in San Diego, the music director was Mike Holleran, and this is in the early 90s, maybe he's still there, I don't know. Every music director in alternative rock in the early 90s when I was a music director, we all just looked at his playlist.
Yep.
And if he put something on his playlist, we would all assume...
Welcome back to the early 90s. This is not what's going on today.
I know it is. I know. But the
issue
is... And
that's the last thing we want to go back to. That is the Stone Age. I don't think I care what some idiot that I don't know in Hollywood recommends.
But I
want to know what Sarah listens to. I want to know what Baratunde listens to. And that's what you get currently. This is a... Well,
but I don't... Are you average, though? What is the average person?
That's
want?
What the average. Look, I look at what average people do. They listen to their friends.
But if you look at the top 10 for Twitter followers, the top 10 includes Katy Perry, Justin Timberlake.
They follow them.
Justin Bieber.
They don't go to them for
Justins.
Music recommendations. By the way, Twitter tried this with Twitter Music. What happened to Twitter Music?
Not much.
Exactly. They don't. And that's what they want to do with Beats Music.
All right. Are we getting audio now? All right.
There's a guy behind a door that's got enough
this
of a
is
crack
a,
they can slide a pizza underneath.
Obviously a video.
You don't even know who a developer is. I think you'd be surprised.
I really don't know what a developer looks
it's
like.
It's a reminder. It's a developer event.
Let us do amazing things.
Developers have many faces.
You can talk about a project, you can articulate it rationally, but you cannot communicate architecture ideas without a drawing. I use an app called Paper by 53. It really provides a sense of freedom, a sense of being emancipated from technology. It allows you to communicate as if directly from your heart, from your soul. It's just part of you. And I think that that magic is part of the app world.
Live coverage now from Moscone West at San Francisco as we begin Apple's WWDC 2014.
Airbnb saved my life. I talked to my friends.
Instagram, Tumblr.
Like, blah, 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 blah.
Evernote.
That's the one.
I'm addicted to Pinterest because it is amazing.
There's so much entertainment.
It's all mobile, by the way.
Mm-hmm. Dump it.
It's limitless what you can do.
Like, dive.
Jump off a boat.
It's not waterproof, however.
Do not bring your iPad off the boat.
The health of the ocean is absolutely essential to the health of us as human beings. Pangaea runs a sailing expedition
now bring
vessel
you
to help
beautiful young people
collect data
doing amazing
all around
things.
The world.
Buy an iPad and you too can sail the world.
Every day, iNavX is essential for us to be able to navigate.
Will you
vessel.
See a Mac Pro in any of this video?
Tracker allows you to
will
enter
you even
the
see a laptop in this video?
Into a global database so we can start to build up a bigger picture of this problem around the world. I think these apps are essential for us to be able to bring change to what's going on in the ocean.
Best app of all time has to be Tinder.
I'm most probably like the Tinder. Millions of people that's got sucked into to Candy Crush.
Robot Unicorn Attack 2.
Crazy.
He looks like a grinder guy to me.
To meet new people in London. Interesting.
Words of Friends, Scrabble.
I play solitaire. And of course I always win.
Solitaire.
Of course I always
oh,
win.
Oh, it's the old
I'm
guy
the only
joke.
Guy playing.
Stewards of dreams and hope for hitters. They come in and
remember that a lot of what WWDC is to inspire developers, to get them to develop for these platforms, to get them to write great stuff. So this ad is not for us. This is for developers.
I'm able to break down the swing into parts so that you can see, okay, here's the mistake and here's the adjustment that I need to make. So what you have is a kid that can not only do it right, but then you can train him on doing it over and over and over. Now they're able to look and say, you know what? I'm getting better. And that's one of the things that you need for life in general, but in sports, you want hope. And so now it's easy for them to focus on dreaming.
Or Candy Crush.
We need like a silence finder app.
Pop, 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 pop. I gravitate toward very melancholy and painful songs.
For example.
This has become as essential as my guitar.
There are apps that help people.
Where are all these people
like
in
really
a narrow alley?
That's where they're going to be selling these things.
Future of developers.
This is interesting. Look at this. This is a 3D.
Wow.
Printed.
And it is quite magic. It really is. In combination with the hand, the app has allowed me to gain functionality
That's
and independence.
Yeah. Look at that.
I enjoy being known as the kid with a bionic arm. You know, it's something interesting, it's something different, and I'm a big fan of being different.
This is essentially an extended version of the iPad ad.
Yeah.
iPhone
it's really long.
It's being born.
Dre's late again.
Yeah, right. The stalling.
The chronic.
You see the world in a different way, and I think an app can do that because it really does open something you didn't know beforehand.
Developers are doing extraordinary things.
I can't believe what they're creating today. It's genius.
If I met the person that made SkyGo, I'd probably give him a massive hug.
You inspire me so much.
They make our lives better, and they think of things that obviously regular people can't think of.
I don't know how the technology works. It's just magic.
Really interesting use of the background.
Yeah.
They're all the same.
They're all these,
they're all converging, deep, so it's all deep, vanishing points right
yeah,
behind them.
Yeah, yeah.
One guy in a storage unit is a little odd.
Yeah.
That was the Tinder guy, right? All right, Tim Cook taking the stage now to great applause.
Now we're going to hear how many apps they downloaded and how many iPhones they sold.
Good morning.
Good morning.
It's always exciting.
Good morning. Welcome to San Francisco. We're here today and all week to celebrate the developer community and all of the amazing apps that they've created. I hope that video did a great job of capturing just how deeply we feel about our developer community, and more importantly, the a number of lives that they've enriched. So from all of Apple.
He's reading his own presentation. He's got a pickle. Steve never did that.
Do you want to define what you just said?
I think he's holding his hand in production. It's called a pickle.
It's a next slide. Next.
It's
yeah,
a
Steve
very,
would never do that.
Very high
never
end
use
version.
A flicker.
It's a very high end version of it. Yeah. We have a bunch of them.
Steve had people he could fire. Yeah. Rather pickle.
Change screens by glaring at someone.
Yes. No, it was all coordinated.
Well, it was heavily rehearsed. That's why Steve would rehearse for weeks before. I don't know if Tim has the time to do that.
Now, WWDC, I can say how much I hate this barn door thing.
It's a huge conference for Apple and a huge conference for all of our developers. We have over 1,000 of our best and brightest engineers here today to talk with you directly in labs about how to improve your code. We've got people from more countries than ever before. And 2/3 of the attendees today are here at a developers conference for the very first time.
In other words, lots of people weren't invited back.
A special shout out this morning to the student scholarship winners. They worked really
typically
hard.
Apple loads the first few rows with Apple employees, members of the board. You'll probably see Al Gore there and so forth. But there are many more rows behind them. Most
many,
of the
many.
Journalists at least try not to clap and sit on their hands. They're not there to applaud, but to learn. And then there's the developers who probably do.
The developer community is incredibly vibrant. We now have 9 million registered developers. That's up almost 50% since last year.
Did he double-click the pickle?
That's the most developers we've ever added in a single year.
I think he did. I think he double-clicked the pickle. That's why we don't want you to have the pickle, Tim.
Nothing worse than double-clicking the pickle.
OS X and iOS, and you are going to see some great new features for both.
There you go.
Some great updates. But even more importantly, you're going to see how they've been engineered to work seamlessly together. Now, you're also going to see the mother of all releases for developers. It's a huge release, and it's so huge that we've dedicated an entire section of the presentation.
What could this be?
Just for this.
This must be the home. This is a third thing. He's got three.
Visual programming.
Yeah, it could be a new
that would be huge.
IDE.
With OS X and the Mac, we're shipping the best Macs in our history. If you look just in this last fiscal year,
yeah, they did,
while the industry declined by 5%.
Like node-based
Macs
programming?
Yeah.
Like Quartz? Mm-hmm.
People are moving away from MVC
Composer.
As well, and that's a very much of an MVC development. Xcode is. Be interesting to see what that
million,
dev portion is. We're
really
start with OS X. And I'm glad to see some love for the Mac here.
The release of OS X Maverick has done really great. It had great features for power users, like power tabs and tags and enhanced support for multiple displays, advanced technologies for longer battery life and greater performance, and, of course, new and improved apps. Just since its release in October, we've installed over 40 million copies of Mavericks. This is the most of a single release ever in Apple's
history.
Apple's
always been really good at getting people to move to the next version. Of course, giving it away helps.
Making it easy to install.
50% of our install base.
Look at that.
Working on our latest operating system. This
it's actually much better in iOS. It's almost 90%
ever of any PC operating system in
makes it much easier to develop.
Right.
Yep.
Now, you may wonder how that compares to Windows. I knew
here comes
somebody
the knife.
Was going to ask, so I decided to make a chart. Well, as it turns
now
out,
he's
Windows
doing
8 shipped about a year before Mavericks, and it's at 14%.
Yeah, Windows 8, not exactly a success story. Oh, Tim. Rubbing salt in the wound. I guess Bill Gates will not be making an appearance at this WWDC.
No. We've got $100 million for you. No.
I feel like they'd make him do this, though, so he seems more human.
It's good.
He's kind of a weird keynoter.
He should. No, he should. He should tell a few jokes. I think that's good. It humanizes.
But, of course, we're always future-focused.
Did you see that Lorraine Powell bid for the Clippers but lost to Steve Ballmer?
No.
Yes.
No. Really?
Yeah. Yes.
$2 billion.
Steve Jobs' widow.
Everybody wants the Clippers that bad.
I can, like, buying a losing team.
Good morning.
Ah, here we go.
Wow.
Craig Federighi, the guy with the good hair.
It's like Chris Breen.
He's
wonderful to be here presenting.
He's the OS X guy,
of course. Greatest developers collected in the world. You guys are fantastic. You know, it was just a year ago here at WWDC when we narrowly averted a major OS X naming crisis.
They'd run out of big cats.
You may remember that we were able to deftly shift from names based on big cats to names based on beautiful places in California.
Craig is, of course, Apple's Senior Vice President of Software Engineering, and here's where we find out where the new landmark will be. I'm predicting Yosemite.
So yeah, I think you're right.
Not Half Dome.
Shoved them in their VW.
Yeah, you can see the press half-assed.
Now, they first ventured south, discovering OS X Oxnard.
This is good. You got to do humor for the developers.
This is fun. It's not funny to the people of Oxnard.
No.
Landing at OS X Rancho Cucamonga.
Oh, dear. Don't make fun of names now. Come on.
Still, we have to hit the mark. So, they boldly ventured north.
Fresno's the butt of many a joke.
Landing at OS X
Weed. Yep.
At least they didn't say Humboldt.
It's where College of the Siskiyous is. It is actually called Weed. The
There is a Weed.
Named
after the local industry.
Yeah.
Within the product marketing organization.
And their yearbook is called The Backwash. I'm not kidding.
And what then was somewhat more
secure. Here we go. Going to Yosemite. There we go.
Ultimately to a place that embodies the beauty and power.
I think that's an excellent name.
We discovered OS X. Yosemite.
Oh, yeah. There we go.
Wow.
They're going to use Yosemite Sam as the logo.
That is El Capitan, a very famous rock for climbers. Very difficult climb on that front face.
It's a fantastic new release with a new interface.
New interface.
Big enhancements to our most popular
app. It also has a steep learning
curve. Looks more like iOS.
All new, we call continuity.
All right. Here's
now
something.
I want to start.
What is continuity?
OS X.
I'm betting continuity means it looks more like iOS.
This is Johnny Ives, of course, input.
And over the
flatter,
years,
I would expect.
It's evolved to the refined look we all love today.
No more skeuomorphism.
Well, with Yosemite, we continue this evolution. And I'd like to give you a look at where we're headed.
Here we go. We saw some leaked screenshots earlier of this, and it was much flatter.
I will say, any company looking at doing presentations, these are some of the best. Like, if you're going to design a presentation between Apple and Salesforce, those are the two, like, in my opinion, some of the best.
Yeah.
It's flat.
Yeah, drop shadows, kind of a little bit still.
Try not to scare anybody.
And those are really flat. Glad they fixed the system preference logo. That was never one of my favorites. I think a lot of people are going to look at this and say, what? I don't get it. A designer would see the difference,
just
right?
Just like iOS.
It does look like iOS. There's the flattened calendar.
It's
that
a little pastel-y.
People hated in iOS 7. Yeah, it has the iOS 7 palette, perhaps.
I think the team has done some remarkable work. You know, we started...
Distracted by his awesome hair.
Does he look like a Disney, like, prince of some kind or something?
It's the second button open that's distracting me.
The toolbars and the window materials.
I'm not unbuttoning
and the
my
window
shirt.
Construction.
We should all do that.
Yeah, if you look at the window
idea.
Title
Clear
bar,
the colors.
You'll see how the use of translucent materials...
Do you have a blow dryer in your office?
Chris Breen is the inspiration, by the way, for that hairstyle.
Yes.
Craig has said this many times.
So now your windows take on the personality of your desktop As you change your desktop picture, your window adapts to reflect that personality and that temperature.
No, I'm not seeing it.
And that translucency also helps maintain a sense of depth and place as you move your windows over one another.
This was, of course, very controversial a couple of versions ago when they put a translucent menu bar in. I see the dock is slightly translucent.
Beautifully crafted new icon.
Yeah, and all the 3D stuff is gone.
Fundamentally still
it's a flat gray bar instead of just free-floating.
Yeah.
That is a gorgeous.
And the reflection, is that for the presentation or is that in the OS?
That's the slide, I believe.
No, it looks like it's...
Well, there's probably a little reflection below the dock, and then there's a big fake reflection.
That would be a lot of waste of space if they did that.
Yes.
No, yeah, you see the barn door has the... Okay.
And clear type. Now, we know... For our pro users, often they really want to focus on the center of the screen and not be distracted by bright menus and bright docks.
Yes.
So we also introduced a dark mode.
50% gray mode.
Wow.
I like that,
actually. That was an applause for dark mode.
Lovers of dark.
Photographers like that.
Embrace the dark side.
It's great.
Lightroom has that.
Through to the applications. Yeah. You notice here with calendar... This construction with a common toolbar and title bar area that makes the window both more distinctly recognizable.
I would love a dark mode there, too.
The space
can they have, like, torn paper?
And we carry this over throughout the system to apps.
This was one of the distinguishing features between Windows and Macintosh was the lack of a menu on the window.
Right, yeah.
And I wonder if you're starting to see a migration of controls from the menu bar at the top of the screen to the window. This is something Apple always... Said, no, this is the right way to do it.
They come together for a gorgeous and more
very iOS
version of OS X, the best ever.
Still saying OS 11 is iOS.
I never understood why they always say this is the best ever. Imagine if it was worse.
Yeah.
I mean, it was like,
it's always three steps back.
It's natural.
It's okay.
Center on OS X, of course, adopts the dark, translucent material, and precise type of Yosemite. It also now, most importantly, has a new Today view. So you get an at-a-glance look.
Yeah, that's iOS. That's straight out of iOS 7.
Your reminders.
Are they saying that the color palette of the menus is adopting the desktop color palette? What are they saying?
Yeah, yes. I don't really get it, though.
The contents of widgets and apps that you've downloaded.
I think he's talking about that picture of Yosemite specifically.
Set up the Today view that you want for at-a-glance access to information. And that...
Andy says it's a new system font.
Next up, Spotlight. So Spotlight has always been a super fast way to launch applications and find content local on your Mac. And Yosemite is a great new interface. So when you click on the magnifying glass up in the toolbar, you get a...
Would have been funny.
...right in the middle of the display.
If they had named it OS X Compton in honor of Dr. Dre.
I know.
That would be so great.
OS X straight out of Compton.
Why don't they represent?
Made my lifetime.
Wouldn't it have been great?
Mm-hmm. Missed opportunity.
Really awesome. Now, in addition to these sources local to your Mac, we also tap into sources of information on the Internet. So, for instance, type a few characters in, like Yosemite. You can get
Microsoft did this in Windows 8 with Bing
Wikipedia,
and got some criticism. I think people have gotten used to it. It's a nice thing to search globally.
I'd like to give you a quick demo of the new UI in Yosemite now. All right, so here's our first look at Yosemite Live. So we see our beautiful new...
Rafe Needleman tweets, aw, damn, Spotlight now looks like Alfred. another app, Sherlock.
I'm going to start here with maps, and I want you to observe that as I scroll the content of the map, the way that the title bar actually reacts its translucency and color to the content beneath. It's just really gorgeous.
Very subtle, but yeah.
Another app.
So when you scroll over Golden Gate Park, it turns a little green.
Is that good? You know,
so.
If you're looking at something complex like a map, do you want to see something?
A lot of translucency.
Looks like it's pretty
right here on the left.
Oh, yeah, there you go. You can see
details about my
El Capitan instance, through my appointments, but mildly. Apparently the trash can
one of the,
is a little more ghostly as well. Look at that.
Yeah, a little translucent. I think this is one of the things that Apple invested in a long time ago, which was using the GPU heavily for the operating system, which is why they control the GPU.
Exactly.
That's why they won't let everyone write drivers for them, is because it is part of the OS. Now, what it allows them to do is do a lot of these things that are very hard to do in other operating systems because they're CPU based. They're not betting on a powerful GPU.
So of course I have my notifications here, but I also have Today View, so I can see my calendar at a glance. my weather. These are interactive.
It's interesting. This makes sense on mobile. I'm not sure how much it makes sense on a desktop.
Interact with stocks, for instance.
Or even I have a desktop app that I think it's called Blotter, I believe, that sits over top of the whole background, which really helps me not miss meetings.
Yeah, a lot of people use Blotter, yeah.
These widgets as well. Just click the edit button.
Put your calendar basically
you
on the desktop.
Yeah. Not good if you're meeting with lots of people. Like, why are you meeting with my competitor?
So I'm just going to drag out calculator, add that in here, just like that.
That's nice.
Like the new widgets. Widget. Let's drag one of those in. So this is like what used to be a separate window of the widgets that we would swing to.
Right. Which never worked very well. So this makes more sense.
I got really excited about it for a while and spent a couple weeks or months working on it. And then I just gave up and I was like, that's too hard to get to.
Yeah.
So this makes more sense. Click here on the I wonder if it's still based on Dash. Got a
search field right in the middle of the screen. Look at that. You can type just a couple of characters. That's basically Quicksilver or Alfred.
Right.
There it is. It's that easy.
So it's putting Spotlight in the center of the screen instead of the upper right-hand corner where it's less used.
I use it all the time.
This is absolutely...
That's why I launch everything.
Yeah. This is the Sherlocking of Alfred and Quicksilver.
Matches on mail from Phil. Now, Phil and I are planning a camping trip. He's a bit of a gear nut.
It's actually nicely done because you have a quick look preview.
Yeah.
So we have here that our meeting at the campsite, and I see that Jeff and Johnny are both in
maps
on the trip as well.
So it appears that the Yosemite Notification Center replaces dashboard.
Interesting.
Which is a good idea, if that's in fact what's going on.
Yeah, dashboard was, I think, pretty underutilized. I know I didn't use it. I don't know anybody who did.
So I'm working on a document as well to help plan our trip. Now, there are a lot of ways, of course, to find documents, but one way now is by app. So this is a numbers document. I type numbers.
Boy, this is straight out of Quicksilver.
Spotlight can do math.
Documents that I've opened with that app,
can
it? I can access them right here. So let's open up my hiking trip. And here we see that the trip is planned to involve a 16.4-mile hike. And, you know,
this is good. This is what Spotlight should have been. Now, the question is, do you integrate Siri into this as well?
Bear,
I like the bear.
Waving bear.
Do you always get that? Is that like awesome. Anytime you type Half Dome, you get a waving bear?
It's a picnic basket.
Hey, guys.
Hello.
They believe in the Second Amendment. Bear arms, the right to keep and bear arms.
Boo-boo.
Yeah. He believes in it.
Oh, I think it's Jellystone Park, not Yosemite. I'm sorry,
right.
I apologize.
Looking for picnic
wrong
baskets.
Bear.
For my document, I can also do great searches.
Bear's giving you a high five.
Yeah. But this, they're actually using Spotlight to compete against Google and the Google
That's
knowledge.
Right. That's exactly right. There's already Chrome now. You can talk to Chrome on Macintosh. Yeah. And I'm really interested to see what they do with Siri here. And I suspect we're going to see a voice demo.
I hope so.
Without even launching an app, I can just do a look up for sushi, for instance. And we see I have maps results.
Yeah, this is nice. I like this. I want
this.
Good.
Yeah.
Makes a lot of sense.
And the thing that we've seen is regardless of whether it's as good as Google, if it's more convenient, people just kind of go to it anyway.
It's in the
that's
OS.
That's what happened
a big
with,
difference, yeah.
With Apple Maps is that may not be as effective, but it's...
Godzilla. And you see I have showtimes for the...
Why use the browser when you can get showtimes right from the OS?
Right.
Now, my question is, what's the back end for this?
Right.
Google probably, but I don't know.
I can't know.
Bing.
Well, what else is it? Is Apple creating a search engine?
It's got to be Bing.
I mean, it's...
You think it's Bing?
It's not Google.
Is it? That's interesting.
Apple's got the money. I mean, they could do their own search.
Well, that's a lot.
So next.
That's a lot to implement. They've got to be.
iCloud Drive.
He didn't say.
Now. Okay. Intriguing.
Intriguing. So, Google's got a drive, so do we.
I'm intriguing myself.
Provides a really convenient way for working with an app that works across all platforms, working on that same document. But now, with
this
iCloud Drive...
This is, of course, something Apple's been trying for some time and done such a poor job with. Developers are very skeptical, too, because, of course, Cloud Sync for apps has always been broken. Only Apple was able to do it with iWork. He's got to convince developers on this one.
You can store all of your own files of any sort... and organize them however you wish.
And that was the promise of iCloud that was not delivered
on. Synchronized automatically across all your Macs.
Now, they always announce these things that other people have had for a long time as if they invented it.
Well,
this is Google Drive.
Apple's really had a hard time with this these cloud services.
It's also accessible from your iOS devices via the iCloud document picker right in app. And what the heck? We're throwing in Windows 2. Next up, mail. So mail in Yosemite.
Hate mail.
It actually has a search that works.
Let's wait and see if they've fixed
really
it.
Focused on the basics. Reliable.
Getting it to work.
Fast switching between mailboxes, quick fetches of your new mail.
It's really not Apple's fault. Gmail is not a standard implementation.
We want to address a fundamental problem with email, which is these days we so often want to send large attachments, whether it's videos or long sets
here's
of photos,
iCloud Drive.
And we end up hitting one of these. A message saying that our recipient's mail server can't take those large attachments.
That's a really nice error message to highlight.
Yeah.
It's just garbage.
With Mail Drop, instead of your message bouncing off your recipient's mail server.
Okay, so ShareFile, Dropbox, and Google Drive now all Sherlocked.
Surely via iCloud, separate from the message, and it rendezvous on the receiving end.
Now, do they have to use mail on the receiving end?
Has a Mac, they get it just like before. And if they have another client, they get a link to securely download those.
There you go.
Limit is 5 gigabytes.
That's not unusual.
It's a pretty big file.
ShareFile limits, I think, are 4. The problem is OSs on the other end often can't handle more than 4.
That's great, actually.
There's
a lot of big, like, being able to send shows that we record to a client.
You want to keep people from sending 164 gigabyte files.
On an email message, and you realize that if you could just maybe circle something or write something on the message, maybe doodle
Sketch.
A little something, you could get your point across so much more clearly.
Okay. We should make a list of companies being Sherlocked here.
Right back in to your mail message. And it even works with PDFs. So if you need to, for instance, sign a PDF, you can now do that with your iSight camera or even drawing your signature right on the trackpad.
Now I should do that with Preview now.
The email message, and you can send it on its way. It's going to be super handy. Next. Great. I love it.
Markup.
I love it.
Next up, Safari.
I like that they're moving through these very quickly.
Yeah, this is good. Well, they have a lot to say today.
Into this single bar. And that means you have more space for your content. Now,
more
of course,
penguins.
You may wonder, what happened to my favorites bar? Well, of course, you can bring that back if you want to. But in Yosemite, you don't really need to. Because now, your smart search field, when you click it, shows you all of your favorites right there. And it's also really great for search. So in addition, when you type to get in your smart search suggestions, you also get spotlight suggestions right there in your completion menu. And this means you can get at things faster.
Note it said Google search, but I wonder.
Now, Safari's also more powerful than ever.
This is also what Microsoft did with Windows 8.
If you want to subscribe to an RSS feed on a site, you can do that right here.
What? RSS?
RSS feed articles will show up right in your Safari sidebar under shared links.
Huh.
And you can also share.
They're bringing back the feed reader to Safari.
Which was awesome when that was there.
And with just one click, you can share a web page. Now, Safari is better than ever as well.
It's a very interesting choice to bring back RSS. I'm thrilled about it, but.
It used to be the way I got everything. Was just, you know.
Yeah.
Sites just like this, so you get individual stacks for each site that you're browsing. Safari is also great when it comes to privacy. Safari was the first browser to introduce private browsing.
This is their strongest pitch here.
You can create a new private
see if
window.
I mentioned do not track.
When you do, all the content within that window and all its tabs stay private, and all of your other windows are unaffected. It's really
handy. Private browsing in a tab.
Now, Safari is great when it comes to standards. It has WebGL now for super fast 3D graphics.
Premium video, a.k.a. DRM video at the bottom.
And HTML premium video.
They support Google Speedy,
now,
which is good.
This enables modern Macs to efficiently stream video from sites like Netflix without a plugin.
That was the controversial choice that Mozilla made to support that DRM. Safari's doing the same.
On a MacBook Air streaming Netflix, and that's for 1080p video. Now, Safari has been set the benchmark, really, for energy efficiency since Maverick.
That's interesting.
And its lead here continues.
Better battery life when you watch with Safari.
Well, I'll tell you, Firefox is a pig.
Yeah.
Like, you know, you'd open up Firefox and you'd be guaranteed you're just going to burn your...
And they're showing graphs here showing how Safari does not only beat him in battery life, but beats Firefox and Chrome in performance.
It's like last night's episode of Silicon Valley.
They got a Weissman score of 5, ladies and gentlemen.
I couldn't watch. After Game of Thrones, I couldn't even watch TV.
I couldn't eat breakfast.
I just had to walk away.
Yeah, just get in a fetal position.
No spoilers. I opened Twitter last night, and all I saw was Game of Thrones. Oh, my God. And I said, nope, that's it.
Yeah.
Gotta watch.
Brian Kroll to the stage. Let's give him a big welcome.
Brian Kroll. Ryan Kroll taking the stage now.
Thanks, Craig. I'm really happy to be here today. So I'm just going to dive right into Safari.
Something okay. we've never seen before.
That's why he's so happy
it's
to be here.
Really great. And when you go to a website,
don't know who he is.
I really appreciate the new design.
But I'm figuring he's with the
it's simpler,
Safari team.
And it's even more powerful. I can open up the sidebar really easily to get at my bookmarks, my reading list, as well as my shared links. And when I click into the...
Brian Kroll is VP of Software Marketing.
Instant access
and
to all my favorite
kind
stuff.
Of a maverick.
It's really
He's
nice.
Tucked in his shirt.
So I'm going to go ahead and type in
Bold
a search
move.
For Ansel Adams. There we go. And if I hit return...
Bold choice with the button down.
Just go to
yeah.
the regular old
yeah.
caller.
But...
He also looks Adams, pretty much like a younger Steve Ballmer. Term,
and
I get this new spotlight suggestion there at the top.
So this is a guy we don't talk about a lot on MacBreak Weekly, but he is
or if I'd like, I can go ahead and see the entire
important.
Article right on the Wikipedia site.
I like that they're including it's a lot of people. I mean, it's
yeah, they should.
A great way to spread things
now,
out.
If you use tabs,
he's VP Software Marketing.
Love this. Now, no matter how many tabs I
and
have
in
opened,
fact, would be the guy who might have done a Apple search engine.
It's really
given his background.
I love that, actually, because I'm an over-tabber.
Yeah.
So I can go ahead and do this, and I'll click...
As are most geeks. I mean, I think that's a feature that hardcore geeks really will appreciate.
I have, like, tab-closing anxiety.
Yeah. Steve Gibson, too. Mike Elgin, too. I'm not a big tab guy.
I don't like tabs.
Yeah. But I think I hear that all the time. That
the only time I have lots of tabs over when I'm prepping for the show, and I open up all the articles, and I just go through them one at a time. But that's the only time I never have more than three or four after that.
I have a lot of automated sets of websites that I open up to, I think, 35 or something like that. And once I just click a button, I'll open. And then I'm in trouble.
This is for people like you. Yeah.
Yeah. They shouldn't encourage me.
I'm ready to send
I need help.
So very easy to get images from, steal images from the website and put them in email.
Yes.
Very handy.
I'm going to add my 2 cents to this. So I can go here, and we have just the right feature called markup. Now, with markup...
Boy, it'd be nice if it were actually marked down.
Image without ever even leaving mail.
It's sketch.
What I want them to do is say, and now you can just draw on your screen to do this.
Touch screen.
Oh, my God.
So great.
Touch screen on this would be insane.
So as you move it around, you can see that it magnifies everything underneath it.
Wow, this is interesting.
Right here.
Again, this is GPU technology.
Yeah, and someone did point out, I mean, a lot of the OSs use GPU now, but Apple got into it much earlier, and it's much more deeply embedded into the system. Than the other options.
Although some, many of their machines, especially the laptops, have fairly anemic GPUs.
They're still pretty, I mean, in the grand scheme of things, they're pretty powerful from what they used to be.
They're good enough.
A lot better than a lot of PCs.
Yeah.
There we go.
See, if you could just do this.
Oh,
did you just see what happened?
To recognize the arrow and make it really pretty.
Oh. It curved the arrow?
No, it made a like an Illustrator arrow with a, he did a hand-drawn one, and then it just changed it.
Isn't that sort of like what Sketch does?
Like magic.
There we go.
I know. I'm so saying this is the Sketch has been
sketched.
So I'm
gonna go
ahead
it's been Sherlocked.
Create a cartoon bubble. Okay. Not so good at drawing.
So it's going to turn this into a.
There we
ooh.
Go.
So
Mac Draw is back, baby. Mac Draw, how we missed you.
Appeal to the inner developer in all of us.
Just imagine we'll do that with your finger on the screen. You know that's
in your dreams, Lindsay.
Is, wait for it.
This is called markup.
Yeah.
And again, this is happening in the mail.
Okay.
Right.
So I think
which
I
presume it means it's OS wide. Maybe not.
Time to go. So now it's ready for me to mail, and I can just click like that. So that's how easy it is.
Napkin. Get Sherlocked, according to...
Yeah, Napkin is a standalone Mac app that for this purpose.
Yeah.
But it only does it within Napkin. I mean, having it OS-wide is fabulous.
Yeah.
How about that parallel programming joke? You did not see that coming. Next!
Drew Olenoff says, that's a dad joke.
Something entirely different.
I hope the rope is multi-threaded.
So now at Apple... We believe you should be able to use the right device.
You know, Craig Federighi has only been on Twitter since November.
When you're on the go.
A lot of executives say eschew Twitter because it's their, you know, their companies don't want them to say anything.
But we also want the transitions between these moments to be absolutely as natural and seamless as possible.
This is critical because, of course, AirDrop has never worked cross-platform. Something simple,
and that's AirDrop. Because now
if they can get AirDrop to work cross-platform. iOS and the Mac. Uh-huh. So Renee Ritchie pointed out that despite the name, AirDrop for iOS and AirDrop for Mac were two different technologies that were mutually incompatible. They've finally fixed this. Renee said this would happen in 10
where we really take it to the next level.
This is continuity, I guess.
Handoff. So it turns out now that when you're working on your Mac, your devices around you in proximity are aware of each other and are aware of what you're up to.
This
and
is
so if you want to pick up where you left off on your Mac, on your
iPad, probably using
your iPad
Bonjour.
Is prompting you right in the lower left of the screen. Just swipe up.
Oh, I love that.
Pick up working on what you're working
this
on.
This is a smart move. If you own an ecosystem, make sure the ecosystem is
works.
Yeah, complete.
Well, and with our system, that means that because we use Meraki as the back end, means we could do this anywhere in the world
because of the mesh.
Because they're all considered the same network.
That's great. Wouldn't that be nice?
Yeah.
Well, your Mac will notice what you're doing and prompt you right on the dock. You click it. And you can pick up finishing that message right on your Mac.
I see you writing a message. Would you like some help?
Now, we've been able to take this same proximity awareness and make the process of creating a hotspot easier than ever before. So now, if you're using your Mac and you're away from a network, but your phone is nearby, when you go up to your Wi-Fi menu, your Mac actually, without any configuration ever having been done on your phone, sees your phone and prompts you.
Maybe that's Beacon.
So you click it,
is that iBeacon?
It automatically sets up a hotspot. You never type a password, and
that's cool.
Great.
You know, this is the kind of thing Apple should double down on. This is how you get people to buy iPads and iPhones.
That's right.
And Macs, for that matter.
It makes it really uncomfortable to have an Android phone in this ecosystem.
Now, yeah.
The next area we really wanted to handle was SMS.
Yeah, you got to fix this.
Let's hear it.
Yeah, tell us about
it. I'd love to seamlessly from device have to device. That work.
Unless you're on an Android device.
Green in which case, forget about it. You'll never see your messages again.
Oh, he is going. They're going to move messages to Android.
And they insist on sending us messages, and we don't want to hold it against them. But the problem is that those messages don't show up on our other devices until now. Because now. Your phone is able to act as a relay to automatically and transparently send your messages between devices. Now, believe it or not, we're able to do the same thing with phone calls.
So now, this is a feature I've had for some time with Android,
your Mac gives you
it's actually kind of annoying. My Mac rings every time my phone rings.
And use your Mac as a speakerphone.
Really?
Yeah.
Huh.
You can do that with Google Voice.
Yeah, I've been for 2 years or 3 years.
It's very annoying.
Yes.
When I get a call on one phone, 8 phones ring and my Mac. With
I have that with
speakers.
Hangouts. When someone sends me a message, there's it just all over my house.
However, convenient.
Yes. And the laptop rings for me 10 seconds before my phone rings.
Right, and they pick up one, it continues to ring. It's some issues.
So if you have contacts and you want to dial a number, you can do it right there. And even on a web page. See a number you want to call? You can call it right from your Mac. So I want to give you...
Again, possible on Google for
a real advantage of Google Voice, frankly.
The big thing is that Apple doesn't really... A lot of times we think of them as innovators, and they do innovate in areas, but a lot of places what they do is they just take what everybody else is doing and they make it work inside of an ecosystem where it's controlled.
Right.
Yeah. It's
and
strange.
It works well.
It's strange, though, having started the show out with very mobile-heavy... you know, the commercial, it does give us more of a reason to use OS X.
Sure. Mm-hmm.
Because right now I pull for my phone every time I want to do anything.
And vice versa. It makes you want to use a phone and an iPad. It's continuity means stay in our ecosystem, please.
Right.
Does anyone want to go?
And, you know, and don't take things a la carte. You need it all.
Right.
But you can see how if someone just got into this, they'd buy an Android and they'd be like, oh my gosh, I'm now, you know, never.
And as Hungry... missed in our chat room points out this is global as opposed to Google Voice, which is U.S. only.
Yeah. That's a good point.
I presume this is global. I see no reason why it wouldn't be.
Andreas is up for some karaoke. And he sent me a URL that's to a good place to go for karaoke.
So this is pretty typical of the tech industry. Now, incredible innovation used maybe pick up my iPad. For you notice as I look at pathetic
my iPad, minor convenience.
Minor convenience. Incredible.
But it pays for the
inventions.
Infrastructure for people to do things important. Like all the
really
trivial pays for the important stuff.
I understand.
It doesn't have any money.
What Alex was saying about the lengths they went so that you could see a picture of Yosemite right. through your menu. I mean, that's...
Yeah. Yeah.
Phone calling. Hold it one sec. Well, this is from my mom. Now, she is surely wants to grill me about the newest fourth tier LLVM compiler.
I hope it's Gam Gam.
Safari.
Maybe it's Robin Williams. Come on. No. Craig, we want to talk to your mom.
I'm sorry. She's a wonderful, wonderful woman, but this is my.
Missed an opportunity. You could have Robin Williams and Mrs. Doubtfire. It would have been great. So,
but, you know, I would like to show you how we can make phone calls.
How we can automate hanging up on your mother.
So, I can dial.
I wonder if his mom actually just called during the event.
Maybe it was his mom. Might have been. God.
And hit it just like this. And you notice I get an option to call right here inside of Safari.
Nice.
But, you know,
very
I
nice.
Wanted to make a phone call to a new Apple employee.
Remember, this is
us. It's something we do from
one of the features Apple sued Samsung over in right. court and lost the click to call on iOS. Oh, Dr. Dre makes an appearance.
Didn't
call
forget
him.
About Dre.
What was that number? Did you get it?
Let's have my Mac dial via my iPhone.
Hey, Dre, yo.
We recorded it.
I
screen captured it. Don't worry, I got
it. It was a 408 number.
Let's all call him right
means
now.
Means it's Dr. Dre's office at Apple, which won't be occupied all that
right.
much.
Wow. Hey, it's Craig Federighi.
I love the UI. Look at that.
Hey, how you doing? This is Dre.
Hey, doctor, you're on speakerphone via my Mac.
Doctor, you don't call him doctor.
Hey, 50.
Yeah. Nerdiest thing.
Thank you. I love a big audience. I want to thank everybody here.
So that means we won't see him.
He's probably
yeah, yeah, we'll see Jimmy.
Some amazing apps.
By the way, I'm glad you called. I hear Tim gets in pretty early. What time should I show up for work?
If you want to beat Tim into the office, it'd be about 4:30. But I think, orientation, new employee orientation starts at 9. So, and you don't want to miss the free T-shirt. So I'd shoot for 9.
Sounds good. I can't wait to get to work with the team at Apple.
Well, Dre, it's been great chatting with you. I'll see you around campus.
Thanks, Craig.
I'm seeing a tweet bye. That... Yosemite Spotlight uses Bing for web search.
Interesting.
What else is there?
We don't have a confirmation on that, I'm not surprised.
A beautiful new design.
I bet you somewhere Apple is building a search engine in the back end. They've got 50 engineers sitting there just jamming away on it. Eventually, they'll roll out their own.
I guess Dre doesn't use FaceTime. It's kind of sad.
A new iCloud drive.
He's been banned from appearing on videos for the next 18 months.
Dre, is Tyrese there?
And of course, continuity.
Does this mean that Dr. Dre won't be the musical act at the end of the presentation?
Yeah, maybe. Good point.
That could be why he's not on FaceTime. Yeah. They don't want to give away his location.
I think they should reunite NWA and F the Police. No, I guess they can't say that.
Now, everyone else will get it in the fall. And believe it or not, it will be free.
Developers get it today. Public in the fall and free.
Now, we're doing something a little unusual this
Steve Jobs as well. Called Dr. Dre 3 years ago at a similar keynote.
Yeah, and the video was very embarrassing if you saw it. By the way, Dr. Dre's number is an Apple number. It is 408-974-1010. That's the main number for Apple, just in case you want to call.
Call them right now.
Beta. He's talking about beta. Oh, preview.
They've done public betas, remember, from 1093.
I think you're going to love it. I'm going to hand it back to Tim. Thank you.
It looks fun. I'll put one of my computers on.
Oh, immediately. I'll upgrade. As you know, I always do.
I think it's consistently
give Dr. Dre a call. There's
any keynote.
Yeah, 408-974-1010.
Call now. Everybody call right now.
Everybody call Dr. Dre. That's the main line at Apple.
I know. Don't forget about Dre.
All right, here we go. iPhone, iPad.
We've now sold well over 800 million iOS devices.
Many Christmas.
And each of the categories of devices has set its own significant sales record in the past year.
That is astounding.
It's the same number of credit cards they have on file. Literally.
Hundred million.
Oh.
little pop up there.
iPad has is that a crash?
Is that on our computer?
Is that us? That's us.
I'm not sure. It's in that little player. I'm not quite sure.
It's got to be us. Yeah.
It's a Java pop-up. I don't know why we would want to upgrade Java. You know what, Oracle? Stop screwing with the keynote, okay?
I know.
Jeez.
Larry Ellison is personally putting those
That was us, by the way. Yeah, not Tim Cook.
30 million customers who bought an iOS device in the past 12 months was buying their first Apple device.
Good news for Apple.
In other words, we're big in China.
That's got to be third world growth.
Now, many of these customers...
But listen.
...were switchers from Android.
Interesting. I don't know if, what many means.
They had...
Millions.
...bought an Android phone by mistake... sought a better experience and a better life.
Actually, I love that. You want to see that, don't you?
Decided to check out iPhone and iOS.
A little good-natured pokes at the competition's fine with me.
Customers in China in the past 6 months switched from Android to iPhone.
China.
Half.
This is incredible.
Yeah. Of their purchases.
And of course, the better experience is our devices and iOS. And iOS 7 took that experience to even higher level. The customer sat with iOS 7 is really off the charts. ChangeWave recently measured it at 97%. These are customer sat ratings that no one gets. It's really annoying.
It's getting really whispery.
Yeah, his voice seems to be cracking on. I have to say, though, high marks all around for this presentation so
great.
Far. They didn't go on and on about retail. They got right to the point.
Yep. Well, we're not done yet. We'll see.
For the OS.
This is a little bit of trumpet blowing, but not. Again, you got to impress developers with the market size.
What has happened with iOS 7, our latest release, almost 9 out of 10.
Oh, we'll see if he does the same thing with Android again. They just did with Windows.
Our latest operating system.
Yeah, because of Android fragmentation's still a big problem.
This is in stark contrast to
Android. Here it comes.
Yeah. 9%.
If you look at their latest release,
it's exactly the opposite.
Less than 1 out of 10 of their customers are on their latest software. And if you looked at a broader group. Over a third of their customers are running a version of Android from 4 years ago.
4 years ago.
Oh, my God.
Now, that means that these customers are not getting great new features.
I gotta tell you, Tim, those are not future iPhone customers in most cases.
Yeah.
And they don't.
I wonder if he's counting the forked Androids.
He's counting all the, and the developing nation Androids. And
those aren't really Google's customers.
But it is a problem.
The mobile malware.
It's a problem for developers.
Yeah, it is.
And here he goes with malware.
No wonder experts are saying
now,
things like
that's
this.
A very deceptive slide because the number of malware.
Into a toxic
see, that's not true. That's not. That's,
shout out for Adrian Kingsley Hughes.
No. Yeah. This is
toxic health stew.
That's absolutely not the case.
Wow. Sounds really dramatic.
I'm going to use that.
It's like a bad place.
Right.
I want a picture of that.
Sounds like a menu item at Guy Ferrari's New
OS 10 toxic health stew.
iOS 7.
Would you like a bowl or a cup?
Today we're announcing iOS 8.
The second of the triumvirate. Remember, we've got something unusual coming for developers at the end of this.
iOS 8 is a giant release, and it's really two stories, not one. It has great end-user features, but it also has incredible developer features, so you can extend your experience and build apps that you couldn't do before. We'd like to get started with describing it. We're talking about the end-user features. And to do that, I'd like to bring Craig back up to the stage. Craig?
Apple's Senior Vice President for software, Craig Federighi.
Why did he even leave?
So, let's talk about iOS 8.
I think we're seeing a lot more of that toxic hell stew. I think that's going to be the quote of the year.
Yes. Anybody have toxichellstew.com?
I'm posing a tweet about how happy I am that they used that. Mm-hmm. Toxic hell stew. What?
Toxichellstew.com is available on Hover.
It's my porn name.
What I really love are our new interactive code name for the notifications. Next time. So now, if you get a message like this, just pull down and you can reply from right where
you
are.
Do you do that, Sarah?
What?
You don't have to leave.
That's not new, is it?
The pull down to...
You can respond to a message within the notification.
Oh, yeah.
You do that?
Yeah.
On the lock screen.
I ask you because
I know. You can just swipe across on the lock screen. You get those action buttons, tap, and you've dealt with it right there.
They've got to fix...
Yeah, for sure.
They've got to fix that problem. You can't... You have to go through a huge number of notifications. At least I do all the time.
Well, now,
one by one,
also use that same double tap to get at the people you communicate with most frequently. It's really handy. And in iOS 7, we introduced this great tab view in Safari. Well, we're bringing a great tab view to iPad as well, with this bird's eye view of all of your tabs. And Safari also picks up the sidebar that we love in Yosemite, with access to your bookmarks, your reading list, and your shared links. Now, we've made managing your mail easier than ever before. So now, if you're reading a message and you want to remember to get back to it, so you're going to mark it unread, we can do that with just a single gesture. And if you want to flag a message, you can just pull across as a flag option. But if you pull all the way across...
So there goes mailbox.
...with just a gesture.
Again, they just go, we would look at everybody else's stuff and take it.
What we've done with composing messages.
Which makes the lawsuits with Samsung even more entertaining.
So ToxicHellStew.com is taken, but ToxicHellStew.net is available.
Who beat me to ToxicHellStew.com?
Unbelievable.
I know, I saw .net, I was going to take it. Can't have calm.
ToxicHellStew.kitchen, you could embrace one of the new.
So I'd like to give you a demo of some of these great iOS...
ToxicHellStew.academy.
Yeah.
I mean, just because Apple is replicating some features that are in an app like Mailbox doesn't mean I'll switch off of Mailbox, though. It doesn't really work that way.
No, it just means people are less likely to switch over to it.
Right.
I don't think you're going to pull people back.
Right.
And where is the desktop version of Mailbox that they promised, like 2 months ago or something?
Use the device. I mean, here,
by the way.
Who, Dropbox did?
Mailbox, yeah. They did. They, when they launched the, I think it was the Android version, they said, and coming up soon, the iOS desktop version. I mean the OS X.
So here's one. God, Apple really likes the group best deal.
Now I get access to my keyboard.
The what?
Type this, right there.
Yeah, I just
Now this works great for third party apps.
Always using
it. So for instance, looks like I got tagged on Facebook.
Probably because they released that song right to be used in presentations. Actionable notification. That's probably part of the deal.
And sometimes you receive notifications pretty popular song. That you just really don't want to deal with right now, and you can just flick those away like that. That's really handy.
That's like Hell's
now,
Kitchen.
That we've made
awesome.
Getting at people easier than ever before. So if I just double tap my home button, see, I have all the people I've most recently communicated
people
with.
People you've interacted with side, show up as avatars.
I have access to all my favorites. If I tap on one, I have controls here to give them a phone call, iMessage.
That's a nice interface.
Or
it
even
is.
FaceTime right here.
Do you think Toxic Hell's Stew was on the bingo? Or a really sheet for this.
Nobody could have predicted such such a magical term.
Let's go take a look at an iPad, actually.
Big break for Andrew Kingsley. What's his name?
Yeah, a note for you journalists out there. You can get on the keynote if you
say something
colorful with the language. Yep.
Especially about a competitor. Here's
especially about Android or Windows.
There's already a Toxic Hell's Stew Twitter account.
Is actually called out right here on the top. Mail has actually given me an intelligent suggestion here to add it to my calendar. I can tap add, and just like this, it prompts me to fill out and add an event to my calendar. That's really handy. Now, sometimes you get a message like this where you're going to have to do some thinking about it, maybe get back to it later. Well, now with just a single swipe, I can mark it as unread. It's really cool.
It'd be really cool for it to be download more stuff to my iPad so I don't have to keep on checking the frickin' server.
And flag.
Jason Snell tweeting, Yosemite feels like a major update to OS X in a way that Mavericks did not.
I agree with that. Yeah, that's like, I'm willing to upgrade to this. Almost none of our machines are on Mavericks.
Oh, dear God. Well, this would be a good time to demonstrate our quick delete feature.
That's Johnny Ive with Federighi's hair.
It does look nice.
Yeah. You know what? Johnny, you should consider it.
I'd rather see him with Johnny's choice.
So let's talk about composing.
Yeah, that'd be funny.
From a friend who's visiting in town that's looking for a good restaurant, so I'll start replying to this message. And I'll say, let's see, check out.
And in other news, Prince has just showed up at the French Open carrying a scepter.
Oh, man. It's not a scepter, it's a baton. To protect himself.
Another place, another message in my inbox.
Thank God for Twitter. You ever get bored?
And now with a tap at the bottom, I restore my draft, just like that.
That's kind of nice, because drafts were always too hard to get back to.
Right.
Yeah. Yep. On the iPad, definitely. Yeah.
That's a quick look. The enhancements to iOS 8.
No mention of health book.
So let's talk about Spotlight. Now, of course, Spotlight's a super convenient way to search in your device. You just pull down when on your home screen, and you can execute these searches and find things like launching apps or find an email message.
That may be the only appearance of Johnny Ive at this event.
We showed you in
it's interesting. He doesn't really like appearing on those, I don't think.
Get it so much more.
I wonder how he likes having somebody else's hair on his head when he's...
Probably better than he likes having Jimmy Iovine tell him what to do.
Yeah.
And get Wikipedia entries and directions. You can search for news. Search for restaurants.
Ive has been absolutely silent about the Beats acquisition.
Not just in your own library, but also on iTunes.
But he's silent about most things.
Right.
You can get results both for theaters nearby as well as content.
And I assume you can rearrange that in and some sort of a settings menu. The order.
In to your great Google
By the way, no change in the keyboard. Still all caps.
I would have thought more about the time that like I had on the iPhone.
The font looks different.
Yeah. Next, keyboard does look different. All right, here we go.
Technology we call QuickType.
Technology we stole from Android.
So prior to iPhone, this was the state of the art in smartphone typing. But iPhone changed all of that.
You know that toxic hell stew?
So
still funny.
Toxic hell stew.
They did change the. That's a different font face, isn't it?
Well, yeah, Cyrillic.
Well, no, I mean the font.
And dictation. But underlying it all have been the language models.
Yeah, it's definitely different.
Autocorrect.
It's spacing is increased.
Yeah.
Line in spacing. iOS 8, QuickType supports predictive typing suggestions.
Oh my God. So T9.
You get suggestions for the
Holy
next
crap.
I cannot just believe like Android. That they're touting this.
Well, it's better than autocorrect. I'll tell you that much.
Smart. Yeah. So it's context sensitive. For instance, in messages, if someone asks you, do you want to go for dinner or a movie?
They'd be a little embarrassed.
Dinner or a movie.
Oh. Wow. SwiftKey's had this for 3 years. That toxic hell stew you referred to?
And it's personalized. It learns how you type.
But the stew's really,
I haven't
really
seen
good.
That where it's actually pre-writing your response.
Yes, SwiftKey does that.
Canceled, rescheduled, moved. These are kind of informal terms.
It imports all your emails and text messages, and from it learns. Sorry, I unplugged you. From it, it learns kinds of things you say. I don't know if it would know based on who you're talking to.
And when it does so in a way that's always protecting your privacy.
Yeah, this is the pitch, of course.
Local to the device and none of your keystrokes.
Because all of these other keyboards on Android send it back to the server.
Language models.
It's all done server side. That's, and Apple's got to keep that privacy pitch going.
Yeah.
That is increasingly going to be what distinguishes it from the other guys.
Next, of course, continuity. You get all the great continuity features. So now, on your iPad, you can pick up where you left off on your iPhone. You can set up an instant hotspot with no configuration on your iPad. You can receive your messages on your iPad. And when you receive a call from someone going like this, you can pick it up right.
Incidentally,
on
it did look
iPad.
Like they. Really they're predicting great. Phrases in addition to individual words.
Right.
He does words.
Yeah, he showed that off with dinner and a movie.
Yeah.
Messages is the most frequently used app.
It'd be nice
iOS.
If that shift nonsense was fixed.
Would
Wouldn't that be nice?
It would be.
Nobody said anything about it.
We have some great enhancements. You can now name your threads. You can add or remove people from a conversation underway. And if you've ever been on one of those noisy threads that just keeps buzzing in your pocket, well, you can do not disturb on a per thread level, and you can choose when to leave the thread. This is pretty important.
I like that.
There's a lot of people that did
no
do
longer
Mr.
really be stuck in the toxic hills to a group chat.
Share your location with people.
You can do that on Hangouts, but it's hard.
Share their location with you. You can see it from right
at Toxic Health Stew's icon on Twitter is a Android robot with the heartbleed art. It's a good choice.
But one feature that I really love is our new talk. You just hold your finger down on the microphone button, and then you can just swipe up with your finger when you're done talking and send what you said.
That's a nice feature.
It's very Facebook really Messenger of them.
For video messaging as well. So to give you a quick
That's better
demo,
than the way Google does it, where it like waits for silence after you finish talking.
And so has and Siri has been doing that. Although, didn't they add Sarah recently on the iPad the ability to hold the button and then let go of it? I think that was part of iOS 7, maybe 7.1.
Well, you could pause as long as you want.
And, right. And as long as you continue to hold the button.
And yeah,
when you release
it, that's
just
it. Waiting. Yeah.
So I can just slide that, of course, as usual, goes right into my messages. And what I see here is I have a thread between me
so
and
add Voxer to the Sherlock.
So what I have that's new in the upper right-hand corner.
They're on a roll.
So if I tap it, it gives me all kinds of information about participants and the message. For one, Craig and Kim have decided to share the location with me. So Craig,
this is a replacement
is
to find my friends, I suspect.
While Kim mm-hmm. is working
it is interesting.
Nobody ever really wanted to find my friends.
I use it every single day.
For me and Tom Merritt, and that's it.
No, I have, other friends besides the two of you. Tom never goes anywhere, by the way.
For the rest of the day. I can keep sharing it until I stop somewhere in the future.
Yeah, this is like Glimpse
really
a little bit.
Yeah. Is this do not or disturb the button.
Pre-Sherlock twist.
So this is just built into messaging rather like than its own app now?
Yeah.
Huh.
So you can share your location.
That makes more sense.
Yes, it actually does.
Thread and not get my phone buzzing.
So something that Google actually recently removed.
They got rid of Latitude and they built location into Google Plus, into the Google Plus.
But not in this way.
No.
And I think this is probably
this is better.
Better, yeah.
Yeah, this is definitely better.
All in one place. So they still appear in line in the thread.
Eventually, they're going to hook this to Beacon so that you can find your friends in the mall, which is really much more important to me most of the time.
Find out where they are exactly
in the building.
In the, right.
Yeah.
Oh, somebody's in the bathroom.
By the way, this is Greg Joswiak, or Jaws, as he's known by the developers. Developers love Jaws. In fact, he came to Apple with Steve Jobs in the next acquisition.
So let's send back an audio message to her.
Marketing chief of iOS.
Hey, Kim, I'm just hanging out here with about 6,000 of our closest friends, having a good time while Craig takes a much-deserved break backstage. Slide up.
I like that.
Yeah, and
I like that.
The little pattern goes there.
Yeah, the wave. The waveform. They use that also in the phone call. That's nice. I like it. It's a good UI.
But we won't use it. Are you... Really
no, because we've had this feature in WhatsApp and Facebook for a long time, and I never used it.
It's something I never use. It's nice to have, I guess.
But this is part of, I think, Apple's grand scheme to get you used to future devices. You'll use this with your iWatch.
Right. And don't use it. And don't use WhatsApp is kind of what they're saying.
Well, that's exactly right. You have no reason not to use this if they have all the same features.
Well, I'm glad she likes it. So it's super duper easy
it's a flattering
to do these sort of things. You notice that it's set with
is he doing a duck face? I think he is.
Yeah. Audio and video messages.
Well, the NSA has that in the database now.
What's this? So Craig should be backstage.
A frightening group chat.
Yeah,
really.
Wow. Terrifying.
That's a Craig's toxic health stew face. Yeah. I am. Don't do that voice again.
I have come for your toxic health stew.
God, that's terrifying.
What happened to his hair?
Right, you've got to do something. I got it.
Is that Steve Ballmer?
No, that's
John, I'm going to need you to buy some more time.
That's funny. Yeah. I like it.
I can see you doing funny.
I like it. The guy with the red hair in the front row likes it.
Needless to say, hair like that doesn't come easy. So while he's dealing with this crisis backstage.
That's very funny.
Oh, look, I've actually got an audio message from him. Now, what's really cool is I can actually listen to audio messages and reply to them from the lock screen simply by raising the iPhone to my ear.
That's nice.
Hey, Joss, we got a crisis contained back here. I'm good to go, so wrap it up whenever you're ready.
It sounded like that was coming through the PA.
It really did, yeah.
But that is a very nice feature. I like that. Yeah. This is, again, iOS 8.
The great hair crisis of 2014.
I would like to point out that he's hard-lined It's not just for power. They have a special connection to those iPhones that they really should make available to all of us. Like being able to do a network. Because what they're doing is they're making sure that the Wi-Fi, they're not dependent on Wi-Fi. And all of us want that.
Super easy. Steve Jobs insisted on that many years ago with the first iPhone.
They had one. The very first iPhone. One, they had trouble with it, and then after that.
Right.
But they have a special setup for those, and they should make that. Apple should make that available for people to.
Well, it's video out. It's everything, right?
And it's an internet connection. It's you know, and there's a lot of us that would love that.
Craig Federighi back on stage with.
So of course, iCloud documents hair. Work great across a single app, on your iOS devices, but now with iCloud Drive, you also have a great way to work across applications.
Did he say the video message is self-destruct?
Yeah, that's what he said. He said you can put it up. You can
bring up your iCloud Drive
kind of Snapchatty, isn't it?
Open documents directly.
Very Snapchatty.
From other applications,
again, everybody else's stuff inside the corral.
Yeah, that's right.
In that application and edit it.
Why not?
Those edits are saved right back to their original location.
Yell at people for copying you.
Exactly.
Okay.
I do get the irony.
Now, of course, you also have access to all of those documents on your Mac. And on Windows as well. So that's iCloud Drive. Next up, something you weren't expecting from me, Enterprise. Now it turns out that iOS, they got one Enterprise.
I was not expecting that.
So iOS is a huge hit in the enterprise. In fact, 98% of the Fortune 500 uses iOS. And we're gonna get the last two.
This is the bring your own device crisis that changed the way enterprise uses computing and killed Windows, frankly.
Killed Flash.
But it's killed Flash, too.
Because of the amazing array of technologies, both technologies that apply to all of us in protecting our privacy and security.
Again,
but
very
also
important.
Enterprise
this,
manageability features that we've added to iOS over the years.
Provided by the NSA.
Now, one of them that we just released in the last few months, I think, is emblematic of our philosophy of the enterprise. And that's the device.
Yeah, Dr. Mom points out, killed BlackBerry, so does Beatmaster as well.
If you work at a company and they want to give you a device, they actually have to take the device they give you, rip it out of its box, connect it to some PC, image it with software to configure it. It's a big pain. But now with the device enrollment program,
such a shift for Apple, which used to fight to get an enterprise and just really no success.
Box, and when you open it up, it'll automatically configure itself for your enterprise, setting up all of your mail and getting your mail messages, automatically setting up your calendar, and even downloading all your enterprise apps. It's that simple. Well, now in iOS
can't possibly
8,
be that
we
simple.
Continue our focus.
Really have to wonder if the folks at Snapchat are saying, damn, we should have taken that $3
billion. Yeah, and Dropbox.
So you get Dropbox too.
Passcode protection of all the major data types, including third-party.
Maybe that's where the Dropbox is going to be acquired. Rumors came from.
Yes.
And we have a great productivity feature. I think we're all going to like.
Yeah, messaging S/MIME. That's great.
One thing I've wanted to have is a password just for my mail, so I could hand someone my mail and messages.
Mm-hmm.
Like just so, if I want to go into that, I'm gonna code it in.
Yeah.
Rather than just the whole device.
Reply for exchange for out of office, free busy information in calendar. And we support third-party enterprise document providers in addition to iCloud, integrated right into iCloud-capable applications.
So now they're going to talk about health.
Management. Yes, the enterprise guy back there. So we also extend our management to include managed books and PDFs. And this is, of course, especially valuable for
Recode has the health
so
story.
A few features for enterprise. Now. Yep. Something that we all care a lot about, health.
There we go. They're just a little ahead of us.
Wasn't that a sweet little icon?
A heart, little red heart.
Yeah.
Array.
There's the Nike Fuel Band.
Devices.
Or is
and
it?
Accompanying applications.
Yeah, it is. Is it the Fuel Band? No, that's the Fitbit
didn't
Flex.
Didn't they discontinue the Fuel
that
Band?
That was the Fitbit, I'm sorry.
And chronic medical conditions like high
remember
blood
that
mine's a little loose.
Tim Cook is the... I just keep pulling it on, I'm sorry.
No, it's like half in, half out, because if it doesn't, I can't hear it. I don't know why.
Stay away from your plug.
A single comprehensive picture of your health situation. But now you can with HealthKit.
HealthKit.
HealthKit
this is new.
Provides
heard about
a single
this.
Place that applications can contribute to a composite profile of your activity
this might
and
be
health.
The health.
And HealthKit comes with a corresponding
rename.
Application. Health. And with health,
health application.
You can monitor all of your metrics that you're most interested in your activity.
As we
but
expected.
Not just that,
This is merely a third-party repository for information.
Protect your privacy, so you have total control over which applications
devices
have access to which part of your healthcare information.
It's the Nike Plus logo.
But you can, for instance,
Apple filed a trademark for HealthKit 3 days ago.
Heart rate information to the Nike app, and Nike is working to integrate HealthKit, so they use that information to help you in your pursuit of your personalized fitness goals. Now, we're also working with the Mayo Clinic, innovators in healthcare. And with their integration with HealthKit, they're going to be able that when a patient takes, let's say, a blood pressure reading, HealthKit automatically notifies their app, and their app is automatically able to check whether that reading is within that patient's personalized healthcare parameters and thresholds.
Guys, blood pressure a little bit high there.
The hospital proactively, notify a doctor, and that doctor can reach back to that patient, providing more timely care. Now, we think this is going to be really important for healthcare. And the CEO of the Mayo Clinic agrees. He says that we believe Apple's HealthKit...
Dr. Noseworthy? Come on. Really? You made that up. Come on.
We're proud to be at the forefront of this innovative technology with the Mayo Clinic.
I bet he smells good all the time.
Aging Dr. Fine, Dr. Howard, Dr. Noseworthy.
First they went to Dr. Dre, but this is a second opinion.
Now, they provide the technology that enables...
They should have the demo from Dr. Dre.
...hospitals serving over 100 million
I'm not
Americans.
A doctor, but...
And so now, with their integration with HealthKit, patients at these leading institutions will be able to get...
It is a pretty big deal. I mean, when you look at the aging population, when you look at a lot of these integration, doctor. You know, getting this... And it is something that's very hard to do with. You don't control the ecosystem.
Yeah. Now, remember, both Microsoft continues to have a product like this. Google killed their product like this.
Yeah.
Next up,
probably because of privacy issues.
Sharing.
Nobody trusted Google
it's
with their medical.
It's an easy way to share what's important. Now,
this is what you were looking for.
When I was a kid, the refrigerator was the center of family sharing. Our refrigerator looked
it still
like
is.
This, except the kid had gray hair. But
many modern refrigerators are not magnet friendly. Have you noticed that?
I have.
If you pay enough, they are.
On their iOS devices. And once you've
you
set up your family
them.
As a family unit, you automatically get to share photos with a shared photo stream, to share calendars with your family, to share a shared reminder list, and to automatically configure things like, with permission, find my friends, and find your kids' devices, which is something
find my friends is not gone.
It's just really
it's integrated into two places now.
Now, of course,
that's brilliant.
We're also used to, in the home, sharing physical media. But increasingly, our media is in the form of songs from iTunes, movies, books, and apps.
Share media.
Well, now, with family sharing, you can get at not just your purchases,
this
but the purchases
huge.
Of all the members of your family.
I mean, people have done this all along by having a single iTunes account. But that's why I have so much rap in my iTunes library. It's my son.
That's right.
And my daughter loves French bistro music, so I've got a lot of accordion.
Right.
Now I don't have to worry about that.
And this is for up to six
that's great.
Family members.
Interestingly, that's what Beats offered AT&T customers.
And it works great for kids as well. And not just because they can make purchases on your credit card, but in fact, because when they do make a purchase, they get prompted to ask you for permission.
Oh, hallelujah.
That's the big fix.
And you get messaged. Hallelujah.
Can I automatically decline permission?
No. I think you probably
No, it's not no. It's not
you, yeah,
now.
Yeah, you can probably say.
Is it not now?
Yes, it's not now.
Not now. Not now, Jimmy.
After you mow the lawn.
Mommy and Daddy are busy. We're taking a nap.
Not
now, Jimmy.
Find me in 2 hours.
There should be an auto reply that says, did you take out the trash?
Yes. Well, now, we're bringing together photos.
That's much needed.
With iCloud. So that every photo you take are available to you on all of your devices.
PhotoStream did that. I'm not sure how this.
Well, the PhotoStream was only the last 1,000 or in that month.
Yeah.
We're not only preserving the common organization edits you do.
Yeah, you
can
fill up the memory
in
all your devices.
Yeah, the business models we're selling.
Plus, it's a lower res if you pull it down from an iOS device.
Right.
To more photos in the cloud than it can physically store locally. So you can get
That's
at
great.
Them all. Wherever you
That's
are.
Great. So it doesn't take up memory.
Now, of course, if you have this many photos, you want great search. And so we now in iOS 8 photos, we give you great search suggestions, for instance, of locations, photos taken near where you are right now, photos taken a year ago today, photos taken in your home, but we also give you search. And so that search lets you match on things like location, time, and also on albums
faces.
That you've set
Say
up.
Say faces.
Now, we also help you perfect your photos with great new smart editing controls.
Someone was surprised that NSA was doing that. I was like,
sensitive right now.
I know, but I was like, how are you surprised that all the technology came from that? And cropping.
I'd like to give you a demo of our new Photos app now.
I never really use the editing functionality of the Photos app.
The iCloud storage capacity is not stuck at 5 gigabits. It's just you have to buy gigabytes. You have to buy it more. You can.
So here I am.
It's stuck at 55, in case you're wondering.
Photo collection, and I have great search here. So I have all my suggestions, but I can also start typing. And you notice I get matches on location and time period, but also on album. So here I have Beach Day with Mandy. I can tap right in there. Look through these nice photos.
You know, she came.
Take a look. Those are some good ones. Now, that's a photo that I think has potential.
I'm not going to go on.
But it's really quite dark and kind of washed out. But fortunately, we have these great smart editing controls that I can use to fix it up.
And there's Lola.
So I'm going to bring up our levels. And you notice I have levels for light and color down there at the bottom. I'm going to tap on light. And I get this great smart light meter. Now, I can just drag
I think we may not use this, but I bet a lot of a lot of people do.
Oh, this stuff is useful.
Really nicely. Yeah. So I dial that in just the way I want.
Yeah, it does a good job.
What's happening under the...
It's a really... It's a complex curve operation that we would do in Photoshop, except now you can just do it with a little slide.
It brought brightness and contrast up, exposure and highlights down, and shadows up.
Remember a friend of mine who was in professional, you know, he's like iDVD. This is back in the old days. He's iDVD, iMovie, I out of a job.
So this is Google Plus-y like stuff. They're figuring out what's wrong with the picture before you even start tweaking
and making suggestions.
And then you just swipe your finger to fix what it knows is broken in the picture.
And now look at the difference of what we've been able to achieve before. After.
I'm waiting for I Awesome.
Really awesome.
Yeah.
Oh, he said awesome.
He said awesome. Yeah. That was no mistake, I imagine.
It's just ambiance and Snapseed.
What's really great is that my edits, of course, immediately went up to my cloud photo library, and so they're available to all my devices. So let's take a look on my iPad. So here's my iPad. Now I'm going to go into my favorites album, and we notice that right now in favorites, I don't have that picture because I didn't favorite it.
I think Apple's unfair to families with more than 6 members.
I think I'll make it one of my favorites. I'll just tap on my iPhone on the little heart.
Apple has something to say about and you know Catholics.
Relations.
The Mormons.
Stop. Yeah, the Duggins. You got to stop. You got to stop.
You don't need more than 6 people in a family.
Yeah. If you got more than 6 kids, you're holding it wrong.
You should be holding it more.
Close-up crop here like this. Hit done.
And yeah, I think a lot of people do this. I watched Lisa get home from a day and use iPhoto and boom, 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 get it up on our blog much faster than I do because I'm using Lightroom and I have to...
It's a chore.
It's a chore. This makes it fun and easy.
Well, good news. We are working on a new grounds-up photo solution for the Mac.
Ah, iPhoto replaced.
With iCloud in mind.
Interesting.
That's going to be shipping early next year, but I'd like to give you a sneak peek now.
Wonder if they'll update the rest of the.
So let's take a look.
You said this is shipping.
Sweet.
So this is shipping next year.
Yeah.
So you see, I guess
it's not part of Yosemite.
Yeah, beautiful.
Very early.
Buttery scrolling here. I have my moments right here. I can pinch out if I want.
It's too bad Alex just got up because this is something I think he'd have something to say about.
All the way out to years.
Yeah, look at that.
I can scrub through my photos. Like this, even in year view.
iPhoto probably was due for a rewrite, but all of the iLife apps are.
I zoom right in. You watch as I magnify this photo, the interplay with the title bar. It's really gorgeous. I'm going to go ahead and browse through these.
They sure locked themselves.
And they're just calling this Photos?
Photos, I think.
Yeah, that makes more sense.
Potential, but it could use... Some brightening up.
It can be very difficult to take iPhoto and make it do the iCloud stuff.
These light and color meters. Well, I can disclose these controls.
So, Alex, they're going to replace iPhoto
in real time.
Not till next year.
As I make the lighting adjustment, and notice how some of these are going
up. A ground up application, much like they did with iWork. They restarted with iWork.
It's really great.
This is their puppy filter.
Do the same with color. Let's just boost the color. Bring out the sky. Bring out the skin tones.
I mean, really, the answer is to.
Easy.
Build up from scratch. You learn what you need to know, and then you move on to the next one.
Apps are always better the second time around.
of photos coming to Yosemite in the future and to the new photo solution with iCloud Photo Library coming with iOS 8.
Yeah, makes sense. And I think you'll probably see that across the board.
Especially with an app that is relatively not, it's very complex, so but not as complex as Pro Apps.
Right. Across your iOS device. No mention of Aperture, soon, however.
With your Mac and via the web, Windows as well. Now, this is all your photos and also your videos.
Videos, too.
And these are in their original format and their
rewrite
full
iMovie
resolution. Now, this uses your iCloud storage.
He's going to have to talk about
it. Now you know why they built that server farm in North Carolina. $0.99 a month for 20 gigabytes. First 5 gigs free. $4 a month for 200 gigs. This is directly competitive with Google Drive.
Tiers up to 1 terabyte.
Yeah, Google Drive, of course, recently dropped their price. Dropbox said, we're not going to drop our price to match Google Drive. And Apple has trumped them.
200 gigabytes for $4 is major features insane.
Coming to iOS, but of course,
so a whole lot 100 gigabytes, $2 on Google Drive, a terabyte, $10.
I bet you Apple's very close to that.
One is Siri. Now,
seems like it's right in there.
You take your phone and you plug it in, for instance, in the car, you can say, hey Siri, and start talking to Siri
hands-free.
Without having to even touch
That's
your phone.
That's much
and
needed.
We have song recognition with Shazam.
This is all
now,
Google.
Start up Siri, and there's a song playing around.
Google Now stuff.
And you can even purchase it.
Makes
right
more sense
there
than OK. I've always thought OK was weird.
Yeah. Hey Siri is great.
Yeah.
So in fact, everybody says that anyway. I say that anyway.
More responsive than ever. Hey, Siri, wake up.
Every time I push the button, I say, hey, Siri. I do. You don't need to, obviously, but it's hard. Everybody says Siri, I think.
We now have great
turn-by-turn nav, lunar calendar support.
Turn-by-turn directions.
I'd like to see Julian calendar support.
Yes. Great for holidays and birthdays.
That's for Asia, of course.
Improved Chinese predictive input and improved weather data. So that is a look. Thank you.
It's iOS 8. And now the surprise, the one more thing, although I doubt they'll say it.
So that's a look at the consumer part of iOS 8.
Here's for developers.
To tell you the other half of the story, I'm going to hand it back to Tim. Thanks.
Thanks, Craig. It's an amazing new feature.
I like Hey Siri.
And if we ended the keynote now...
He is going to say one more thing.
But there is a lot more.
Oh.
The second part of the story is what iOS 8 provides for developers and extending your capability to make even more incredible apps and apps you could not create before. Now, all of these apps are delivered via
this
app
this
store.
This might get a little inside baseball. Ooh.
The App Store now has over 1.2 million of your apps on it. This is a
Nobody's
phenomenal
clap,
number.
That's
and the marketplace
the
around these apps
right.
for
attention.
Unbelievably vibrant. 300 million people visit the App Store every week. And these people aren't just browsing. They are downloading. They've now downloaded over 75 billion apps. These are mind-blowing numbers. Now, what we want to do is make the App Store even better. And so we're rolling out a number of new features on the store, starting with...
Demos?
We're adding an Explore tab to help users find the app they're looking for more. So you can browse through categories and subcategories.
They already have
We're
that.
Adding top trending searches to make search even better. It's great to see WWDC.
You know what developers
top,
want?
The
they
way.
Want demos. They want refunds.
We're making finding your
this
search even better by making it faster by adding a continuous scrolling list.
Oh, that's cool.
We're adding related searches to make it easier to find exactly
just
the app
fix
you're
the
looking
damn search.
For. And with a new Editor's Choice logo, users can find the best apps. Also, for the first time, we're giving the developers the capability to form app bundles. So users can buy multiple apps.
Developers like that.
I do read
Jimmy
your email.
Jimmy Iovine's idea to have albums.
Yeah.
So users can buy multiple apps at a discounted price with just one tap. Also, we're introducing app previews, so developers can make short videos.
There you go. Videos.
So it's not a try and...
So developers can make better than short nothing. Videos yeah. of some great features, and the users can make certain it's an app that they would want.
Video's better than nothing. It's showing Monument Valley there.
Yeah. For the first really cool. time today, a new service, a new beta test service called TestFlight.
Yeah. This developer's wow, very much
wrong. Crazy.
They typically will get maybe 100 codes.
Did they buy TestFlight? Is that we're talking about the same
app and get the results right in TestFlight.
Yeah.
And it's all free.
Yeah, developers like that. Still not a demo, of course.
There are many more features of the app.
Yeah, this was something Apple acquired.
But we are really investing a ton in the App Store. It is a huge release.
From Berkeley.
Everything will be available in the fall. Now, that brings us to the SDK. And for those of you that are not developers, the SDK is a software development kit that enables developers to make all of the amazing apps. This release is the biggest release since the launch of the App Store. And it will give developers the capabilities and tools to make things they haven't dreamed of and to push to a whole new level. And to tell you all about the SDK,
Greg Federighi.
I want to invite my colleague Superman back to the stage.
Superman.
Wait, fairly lukewarm. Has he come up four times now?
Yeah, no. He keeps coming back. No Phil Schiller, no Johnny Ive, and no Jimmy Iovine. Dr. Dre making a short telephone appearance.
He's doing a really good job.
With this year's SDK, Craig has. The team has done just an unreal job.
It's like he's being groomed for succession.
4,000 new developer APIs. Now, I want to start with something that I think is...
That is not something developers applaud.
And that's extensibility. So with extensibility, applications from the App Store will be able to extend the system and offer services to other apps.
LastPass.
Sorry. Well, they have, you know, they have that keychain.
I know, but this will be.
Now, of course, one of the reasons we're all so comfortable installing so many apps from the App Store are iOS's security model. Apps are isolated inside of sandboxes where they can access their own data, but can't get at your personal information or mess with other.
Sorry, this is something they didn't put in iOS.
Well, to handle extensibility,
eight, but they are going to put in OS 10.
Right.
We wanted to build on this
or maybe they are.
Sandboxing model. So now extensions live inside an application's own sandbox.
This is good. Own data. This is something Renee Ritchie was talking about last week.
Right.
By way of iOS's security
is very interested in this capability. Something Android's had for some time.
An extension can even project UI right back into the originating
app. That's great.
Now this enables some great things. For instance, in addition to the system's built-in sharing options, an app like Pinterest can offer a share sheet to Safari.
Yeah, this is
and
something we've talked about for a long time on Mac.
I'll be interested to see if they tie that back into the desktop as well.
Right.
So everything's all...
Right they should.
Safari, yeah, they should.
Because of continuity.
The web pages, web content, right there. Now we're also supporting photo filters inside of Photos and enabling third parties to define their own document providers that work with any iCloud drive.
This is something that's been missing from iOS.
Yeah,
it really
absolutely.
Will enhance it significantly.
We're enabling third-party apps to define widgets that can now go in Notification Center. I think it feels like time for a demo. So let's start.
A little chatter there, but it's okay.
So we're back here in Photos. And I've got a nice photo here of a flower. And I'm going to go ahead and edit. And you notice in addition to the options here at the bottom of the screen, we have at the top left this extensions button. I'm going to click that, tap that rather. And you notice
this is probably the biggest change to iOS since the App Store.
And one from
that's
water
what he said.
So I'm going to
did he say that?
Log.
Yeah.
Oh.
And now the Waterlog extension is
channeling Craig Federighi.
Right here in the context of
no, it is. Though.
Oh, that's yeah, so is. Cool.
Bringing up their own UI.
It's app with an app.
Yeah. This is huge.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah.
It's a box inside of a box.
It's right back inside of my photo album. It's that
easy.
That's cool. I'll give you that.
Then next, let's take a look at widgets. So I'm going to just pull down Notification Center. I have my existing widgets here in my Today view. But you notice in addition to my widgets, down here at the bottom, it says one new widget available because I've downloaded an app recently that contains a Notification Center widget. So I'm going to tap Edit.
This has kind of been the holy grail of computing since OpenDoc.
Position it where I want among my widgets in my Today view.
Really, you think about, you start thinking about, you build an app that is really a holder for other apps that builds a center
behind them. Yeah. This is something Android does not do very well.
Right.
As well. Let's take a look at iPad.
And, of course, Apple can promise it works security.
I was going to say, it works better to do this when you have tight control over everything.
Interactive widget from eBay. So I'm bidding on a
Aziz in our chat room says this is iOS 8 appception.
Apparently, I'm being outbid. So I can now, right inside of Notification, take advantage of the interactivity of widgets.
It's almost like it's
look at that.
It's the personalized homepage.
Yeah. It's an alternative user interface.
I like it.
All inside of Notification Center.
I like it.
Now, to wrap it up, I want to show you extensions.
It's nice how you can do a lot of customization outside of the settings menu, too, just from within Notifications itself.
With some information on a beautiful guitar.
All these demos have been on iPads, not on iPhones.
Text here is in Japanese.
Probably easier to do in Japanese.
Yeah, the screen is a little smaller, too.
Fortunately, I have a Bing translation extension.
Bing translation.
So I can just bring up my...
I think we could probably say goodbye to Google.
Down here on the second row, Bing Translate. I'm going to tap on that.
Oh, Google will keep on building stuff for it.
Yeah, 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 but I don't think Apple will put any Google stuff at all.
Oh, no, no. They won't.
They did still show in Safari. They still showed search with Google. So.
No, I think that
users
cut it out.
Want that. Yeah.
Now, for our extensions grand finale, let's put that on my Pinterest board. You see Pinterest has an extension right here. I'm going to tap on that. And this is actually
Koch, who was one of the original CyanogenMod developers, says customization and extensibility was the main differentiation point on Android. Seems that's gone now. So a big Android developer saying, thumbs up.
And that's a quick look at extensions in iOS 8.
I'm loving that.
Yeah, it's going to be really cool.
Now, there's one important kind of extension that I did fail to mention, and that's the ability to install system-wide third-party keyboards.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
They got tired of everyone complaining. They were just like, okay, here's the deal. We'll just
Hallelujah.
Everybody wants this, but hardly anyone will use it.
Yeah, that's fine, but for power users who do
want it. I think a lot of this is like, we're going to give you everything the Android does.
This is important.
If that keyboard requires or you want to grant it ability, it can ask for access to the network.
This is key.
To provide extended functionality. We put those controls in your hands.
And he is showing swipe.
That's extensions on iOS 8.
That is impressive. Frankly, that's a game changer for me. That's huge.
Next up, Touch ID.
It's going to be big.
This is the key fingerprint recognition.
We introduced Touch ID. 5S. Developers were excited about the potential.
Opening
and
this up
would
be huge.
There's no question why Touch ID has been extremely popular in people authenticating into their devices. If you look at passcode usage on iOS before Touch ID, it was less than half. On iPhone 5S, 83% people love using Touch ID. And now, third-party apps can take advantage of
Touch
ID.
Holy moly.
Okay.
Mint is showing Mint, but your bank would immediately adopt this.
Oh, yeah.
So I would hope stores, online stores. This is big.
First, it'll be polling, and then it'll be voting as well. I mean, 10 years from now.
Keychain items.
From your iPhone.
So it'll identify successful fingerprint matches, but it always keeps the fingerprint data itself completely protected inside of the secure enclave in the A7 processor. The fingerprint information is never exposed to third-party apps.
This
or
is
the
something
rest of the system, for that matter.
Steve would not have
Very
done,
secure.
And it is a good thing. This
That's
is one of
ID.
Those one of those things that I thought Apple would never release. That is huge.
Yeah.
Very big.
Oh,
again.
White balance.
They're really opening
focus.
Up the iPhone.
Oh, yeah.
We've enhanced the PhotoKit API with faster performance, the ability not just to read but also to write to the photo library. And this is now your cloud photo library, and perform non-destructive edits. It's really great.
This is something, in fact, now, Android recently took away
API,
in KitKat.
But now we also have
this is very big.
HomeKit.
Ah, here's the home part.
Oh, here we go. Home automation.
This is very big stuff. This iOS 8, huge.
Yeah, Apple's doing the right thing. There are a lot of great home automation devices coming on the market these days, and they have companion apps, things like lights.
It's my Hue.
And door locks.
It's the
webcams, garage doors, and thermostats. But you know,
no
each
Nest.
Of them have their own application.
That's the Honeywell.
And they end up defining their own network protocol, their own security mechanisms. Well, we thought we could bring some rationality to this space.
Yes,
we started
you could.
Working with the leaders in home automation devices. And we've come
devices,
up with
iHome
HomeKit.
Free,
with a common
TI.
Network protocol that has secure pairing to ensure that only your iPhone.
They're going to do their own
protocol. This is the end of ZigBee. This is
the end of, the other standards.
This is Siri integration.
Individual devices in your home. With HomeKit, you can group
I
devices
think I just bought the new
and changes
iPhone.
Into scenes. Yeah. And then with Siri integration.
Hey Siri, open the garage door.
Yeah. Huge.
Siri, turn on the living room lights.
Your door is locked, the thermostat is lowered, and your lights are dimmed. That's HomeKit.
Now, I want to know what about interoperability. People have invested quite a bit in home automation and may not work with them.
I still think it's that's been a nation market so far. I mean, I think.
Yeah, you're right. They could just take it over.
So today,
especially with
iBeacon. You're a developer and you're writing an application and it needs a web component. Well, you end up really having to write two apps in one. In addition to writing the client side using Xcode and our frameworks, you have to write the server side of the app. You have to write server side app logic. You have to deal with authentication, asset storage, database storage, search, even push notifications, and then you got to pay somebody to host it all. Well, now, with CloudKit takes over the cloud part and provides you with a client-side
Apple's
programming
moving
model
into the
that lets
Google
you access
compute engine, the EC3,
storage, search, and more.
And going after Amazon and Google
pain,
and Rackspace.
CloudKit is effectively free.
Yeah. Wow.
Whose limits?
Develop a whole limit.
Some limits may apply.
So, CloudKit scales the data allocated to your app and bandwidth based on the number of users using your app.
This is huge,
and this
too.
Goes all the way up to granting you free a petabyte of assets, 10
Holy
terabyte
cow.
Of database.
This is
and
what
all
these
the database
these all these
constructively use. That
server farms
CloudKit.
They've been building. This is what this is designed for.
Yeah. They're finally online. This is very big. Of course, Google's App Engine and Amazon's
EC3
are
I want to move on to something huge
very empowering for app developers.
3D graphics, and it's called Metal.
Whoa.
So, did he do the horns?
Yeah, he did.
Yeah.
OpenGL is the standard-based way for high-performance 3D graphics on iOS.
I love you,
giving you access to the power of the A7 processor. But increasingly, if you look at what goes on in the performance of the game, in addition to what the game wants to accomplish, OpenGL ends up being a thick layer of overhead between the game and the hardware. Well, now we have Metal. And Metal dramatically
programmed to the Metal.
That's what we used to call it,
overhead,
yeah, programmed to the Metal.
Giving the game near bare to the Metal access.
That's what you
the
want,
power
of course,
of A7.
As a developer.
The results are stunning.
I'll tell you, if Apple delivers on all this, this is a huge home run on
Holy
iOS.
Holy cow.
Now, all around, huge home run.
Reduced overheads. You get access not just to graphics, but to
Open
the compute power of the GPU.
Been a problem mostly because of poor support.
Pre-compiled shaders and efficient multi-threading.
Well, Apple's never liked
right.
the most out
they
of
they don't
processor.
Own it. Now they're going to give you something they own.
With the leading providers.
Crytek, Unity, EA, and Epic all supporting. Of course, Unity's very important because that's the cross-platform tool.
With Metal in just a few weeks is truly stunning. Let's start with EA. And the work they've done taking their console-level title, Plants vs. Zombies,
this is a great first-person shooter, by the way. I really enjoy it.
They're able to put over 1.3 million triangles on the screen at a time.
That looks good.
And do depth of motion effects, depth of field effects.
This is huge.
Wow.
Again,
iOS has been really important for games.
Right.
They've really disenfranchised. One of the reasons Nintendo is essentially out of business.
Right.
And Crytek was able to bring getting better capabilities in here is huge.
Again, he keeps saying console level.
Yeah.
Think about all of the things they've just announced for iOS. This is up to 10 iOS is now this. Yeah.
It's
Harry McCracken has said
it's
on Twitter.
Center of the universe.
Yeah.
Yeah. And rightly so. That's where they make their money.
We're going to include your desktop, but this is the
Infinity Blade 3, ladies and gentlemen.
Tim Sweeney. Tim, come on up.
Just a stunning array of new features in iOS 8. I see why they need 4,000 APIs.
We've had the opportunity to work with Metal, and to illustrate some of the possibilities...
Tim Sweeney's with Epic Games.
...a Zen garden. Now, this environment was built in Unreal Engine 4 on a high-end Mac, and now, thanks to Metal, we're running it on iPad in real time with full fidelity and performance.
Ooh.
That's quite beautiful. Look at the reflections.
...increase in detail, making it possible for developers like us to create a new generation of vivid and interactive 3D experiences. Now, Josh Adams is the programmer who wrote much of the code that's running. Josh, can you explain what we're seeing here?
Yeah, sure.
It's really beautiful, but it's
Metal support for pre-compiled shaders.
It's funny because Epic gets up there every year with Infinity Blade.
Right.
And now first up, let's check out this cherry tree. So I can drag on the screen to put petals onto the tree. They start falling to the ground.
These are particle effects.
There are about 5,000 petals here being physically simulated. And I can interact with them by touching on the screen to blow wind through the
area. Strong physics engine is very important, of course.
All right, next up.
That's a lot of particles. I mean, it's
filled with hundreds of fish. Metal's freed up enough
look at the reflections.
Then we can have each of them running their own artificial
pounds,
which you can see here as I drag it on the water.
Holy cow. This is on an iPad.
There's a few more fish here than a real koi pond, but since Metal is...
I hope they release this. It'd be fun to play with.
And of course, every Zen garden needs some sand to rake. So, I go over here. I can rake any pattern I want into the sand here. Now, artists love that you can make an effect like this without needing a programmer like me to make a one-off effect for draw call reduction or other optimizations.
Yeah, I would actually buy this.
I know. I just goof around with this. It'd be like you're just standing in line, raking the sand.
So I can tap on it, pours out some water, which then turns to a couple hundred butterflies. But of course, not going to stop there.
Jason Snell tweets, "My God, it's full of butterflies."
And then guide around the area. So there are about 3,500 individually animated and rendered butterfly meshes here. I have to keep telling the artists to turn the numbers up and up because they did not think it was going to be possible. Pretty cool, huh?
Jan Kum of WhatsApp has tweeted, "Very flattering to see Apple borrow numerous WhatsApp features into iMessage."
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that won't be so flattering.
Yeah, that's a nice way to say. Not that he's bitter.
Rendered here in a scene that we couldn't have dreamed of building prior to Metal delivering a tenfold increase in rendering efficiency.
We're watching Avatar.
This level of graphics capability on iPhone and iPad now is a stunning breakthrough. We're proud to have been a part
finally
of it.
Finally, you see and, of course, potentially A7 chip really being used here.
We will be making the Zen Garden available. In
notice how many times they said.
Thank you.
Zen Garden available.
Free.
Free. For iOS 8. The question is, will we get iOS 8 today as developers? I mean, not
it's amazing. And that was, it's easy to forget, on an iPad.
Yeah.
It's incredible graphics.
And let's point out the... same chip is in the current iPhone 5S. Right, so you have the same exact capabilities.
From high-end 3D gaming to casual gaming and sprite kit.
Notice how many times they said console-level graphics.
Year, WWDC, and it's been a big hit with people building casual games on the App Store.
Well, but AirPlay has some latency. I'm not sure you're going
to... We really enhanced sprite kit with some things that make your casual games just that much more fun.
I still think they're going to end up putting in Apple TV. You know, in the little box. You have to put an A7, put all this stuff up, and then you have a console for $99.
Oh, I see your point. You're absolutely right.
Yeah.
Put this in the Apple TV.
And even inverse kinematics.
And now, don't know if you can do it for $99.
For the first time on iOS, we're bringing
Apple could.
Scene kit.
A lot of kits today.
Inverse kinematics is pretty interesting to put in as an API.
Scene kit is a 3D scene render, and now it's been enhanced. It's designed for casual games with an integrated physics engine, particle systems, and support for scripted actions. So these are two great solutions for casual games.
So high-level support for low-level capabilities.
Code.
Developers love hearing that word.
Now, Xcode is the tool set we use to build all applications for the Mac and iOS. And Xcode is, in fact,
Marco Arment's pointing out that Metal and SpriteKit
on our platform,
encourage games to go iOS first and iOS only. Because if you develop to that hardware, you're...
Well, and it's just, you make it easy to develop for.
Right.
Again.
Is the language we use to
when you combine that with a fragmented market on the Android, you know, it's continuing to fragment.
Objective-C came to Apple, of course, with Next.
So well for 20 years. We absolutely love it. But we had to ask ourselves the question.
New programming language.
What would it be like if we had Objective-C without the baggage of C?
What?
Ooh.
Developers are going,
we did more
what?
Than think about it.
Objective?
We have a new programming language.
Oh, my God.
Well, if you're going to learn 4,000 new APIs, you might as well learn a new programming language.
I'm glad I didn't go any further with my...
It looks like a diving bird.
Aaron Hillegas is going, I have a whole new set of courses.
Swift.
And it totally rules.
Swift.
Swift is fast. It is modern. It is designed for safety, and it enables a level of interactivity and development that you've
Google's
never seen on
the platform.
Google's
been doing this, of course, with Go and other
When it comes to speed... Languages. Swift is great. Compare Python, a popular scripting language, with Objective-C when it comes to something like, let's say, complex object sort. Objective-C is a lot faster, but Swift is faster still. And take something like RC4 encryption, extremely computationally intensive. Python gets utterly crushed in this particular benchmark. But look at Swift. Now, Swift is also modern, with features like closures, generics, type inference, multiple return types, namespaces.
Developers love namespaces.
I know.
What was the word? What was the key word in there?
I'm going to rule the world.
Enthusiasm.
I think all of them were the key words.
Multiple returns. Closures are important.
You know how many people at home are going, what in the heck are these guys talking about? With Swift, you're able to reduce a common pattern that you might see in your Objective-C code like this and reduce it to something as simple as this.
Oh, okay.
And Swift defines away large classes of common programming errors. They just aren't possible.
This is smart.
Now, Swift is completely native to Cocoa and Cocoa Touch. It's built with the same LLVM compiler as Objective-C, using the same optimizer and auto vectorizer, and it has the same ARC memory management model and the same
runtime. Wow.
Which means that your Swift code can fit right alongside.
Wonder if it's a precompiler to Objective-C.
And your C code in the same application.
Couldn't be. Couldn't be faster for us.
Now, Swift also enables a level of dynamism and interactivity in development that we've never seen before, with a feature we call Playgrounds. To demonstrate Swift and Playgrounds in action, I'd like to bring to the stage Chris Lattner. Come on up, Chris.
So this is smart. Remember, the Department of Defense tried to do this with a language they called Ada. They want to use the language to protect programmers against themselves.
I am thrilled to be here and to be the first person to give you a taste of Swift. Let me show you how fun
and interactive
it is to write Swift code.
So this is what you want. You want something that will have strong typing,
this is a Swift
have modern features like closures,
as I start typing,
but be fully interactive.
Response.
That's why they use the Python example.
It's actually running my code.
Python will let you
it
do this.
And displaying the result in the sidebar to the right.
So Python is an interactive scripting language. It's great for learners.
Of course, Swift uses type inference and has powerful string processing capabilities, which make it as easy to use as a scripting language without sacrificing any performance.
That really is the holy grail.
Swift was designed from the ground up for Cocoa and Cocoa Touch. So, of course, I have their full power at my
fingertips. Still a lot of visuals.
Farhad Manju says on Twitter, this is the big product that Tim Cook was hinting at.
Yeah.
All the way up to
this is really huge. Developers, if this is well implemented, will jump at this.
Yeah. Keep it simple. And, I think I'll write...
And again, what you end up with is a whole bunch of developers that don't know C.
Right.
You know,
which is
like, good. Well, it's good for
what
Apple.
You want. Yeah.
It's good for
Let's
Apple. I mean,
it's not hard to learn C, though.
It's not. It's just that but you start going, deep into
here,
something.
The playground sees I've loaded an image. I can even
the question
see
is, will you be able to tailor Swift?
Now, Swift is loaded with high-end features like generics.
You might be the first person to do that.
No, Drool All Enough actually posted a picture of...
Here you can see I'm using array of strands. I'm using the functional map algorithm to apply closure to every element.
Yeah, closures and map. This is very powerful
list
stuff.
Of images, all with a simple line of code.
Yeah, this is very powerful stuff.
Now, all these resources are part of this game that I'm working on. And one piece that
should have been called IC.
To finish up is the flight path for the blimp that we have. Now, this is a simple loop that computes the position for the blimp over time as my game plays. And in addition to seeing individual values,
this is one of the real strengths of Python, is this kind of interactive.
Of a value
it's great for learners.
Yeah.
And so now I can immediately see that this equation will cause my blimp to slowly sink.
Yeah, you can definitely see a lot of new programmers
like
jumping
Mathematica
into this.
Too. Students might use this to model mathematics.
Has Apple actually done coding on stage at previous events?
No, actually.
I don't recall.
It's been a long time. They did in the early days at WWDC. You'd see code.
Which is a lot more of what I'm looking
This is very much Mathematica.
So now that we have this the way we want, we can take this and copy it. And let's go to the game that I'm working on. It's right here. Now, this is a playground just like before. But here I have a game code written using SpriteKit.
Holy cow.
Now, you can see our blimp going left and right, straight across the scene.
You know, on the one hand, I hate the idea of kids learning to program in a proprietary language for a proprietary platform. This is absolutely not going to be cross-platform. Yet, this is exactly what you want to give kids.
Well, yeah, and once they learn how to do it here, their resistance to doing it somewhere else is going to be much higher.
It's not like small talk is...
really easy to try out new things.
This is very powerful.
Just by adding a few lines of code, I can enable sprite kits per pixel, collisions, field forces, and lighting effects, getting a much more interesting result. Now, Swift Playgrounds even give you full power over time. And with this timeline at the bottom of the screen, I can go forwards and backwards through the execution of my game, so I can really see those effects in action.
That's amazing.
You can see the balloons interacting with each other and with the blimp, just like that.
I presume there's a debugger as well.
Playgrounds give me unprecedented power to see my app in detail and give me full control when I want to refine and polish my application.
I'd love to know more
of course,
the technical details.
Swift works great with Xcode and runs great on iOS. So let's now jump and see what the finished product looks like.
If it's a pre-compiler or doesn't look like it.
Here we go. And this is the game that we just built. It looks pretty great. Now,
there is a Swift
told you earlier,
parallel scripting language, which is now down.
Well, SceneKit is super easy to build a 3D version.
I wonder if this is an acquisition.
And that's just a quick taste and quick look at Swift.
It came from the Argonne National Labs.
Absolutely love it. Thank you very much.
Yeah, I don't think this is related. I think Apple probably bought the trademark. But this was something developed by taxpayer money.
It gives you access to all of Coco and Coco Touch. So you can build everything from a simple example like you saw there with Chris to the most powerful applications you can imagine.
This is a spectacular amount of new stuff. A lot to absorb.
It comes with complete Xcode support with indexing, code completion, and debugging. And there's a Swift language.
I think this one's up there with the iPhone launch, the iPad launch. You know, I mean, these are...
Along with complete reference documentation. And when iOS and OS X are available,
the Apple Dev Center, just real quickly to see.
You can submit apps written in Swift to the App Store. That is Swift. So as you've been able to see, iOS 8 is a huge developer.
And nothing about Swift yet on the developer page.
End user release with features like the new QuickType keyboard, tap to talk in messages, health, family sharing, and great new photos with iCloud Photo Library. But it's also an unprecedented developer release with technology like extensions, Metal,
huge.
And Swift.
Three huge new technologies
That's
for
iOS 8. It's going to be available to those of you here in beta today.
Very good. Not unexpected, but
no,
that's what developers want.
And you guessed it, available to everyone else in the fall, and it'll run on all of these devices.
It goes down to the iPhone 4S, the iPad 2.
Thank you.
So that's good news.
But a lot of those real-time graphics, everything else, I mean, you're going to obviously want to have a newer iPad or iPhone for that.
There is a Swift language guide in iBooks, apparently.
Incredible release. It's been a fun morning. You can probably see that from us. I hope you've enjoyed it as well. Thank you.
Huge. No hardware announcements.
This morning,
not much of a surprise.
Yosemite.
The future for Apple TV.
Of OS X with an incredible new design, amazing new features.
This is one place you could announce a 4K display.
Right.
I would be very happy to see that.
You've seen iOS 8, the biggest release of iOS since the introduction of the App Store. It's huge for developers and massive for everyone else. And perhaps more importantly, you've seen how our operating systems, devices, and services all work together in harmony. Together, they provide an integrated and continuous experience.
Unfortunately, if you search iTunes for Swift, you're going to get a lot of Taylor Swift albums. I'm going to try to narrow it down to books.
And extend their experience further than they've ever done before. And how they can create powerful apps even faster and more easily than they've ever been able to. Apple engineers' platforms, devices, and services together. We do this so we can create a seamless experience for our users that is unparalleled in the industry. This is something only Apple can do. You've seen a few people on stage this morning, but there are thousands of people that made today possible. And I'd like to take a moment before we depart and recognize them. Would everyone from Apple stand up that has something,
something
to do
Steve
with
always did,
today?
And he'd always thank the family possible. Members who had to put up with
stand
the long
up,
hours
don't be
that
bashful.
Employees. And of course, the front rows. Not as full as usual of Apple employees, but in fact, it looks like they salted them throughout.
It would be kind of weird if there were too many of them.
Well, it looks like they've salted them throughout the auditorium, which is unusual. Again, this is something different.
They're all Apple employees, in fact. Mm.
Thank you.
Turns out it was an inside crowd.
Thousands more back in Cupertino who were watching, and I want to thank them too and from all over the world. It's the privilege of a lifetime for me to work with all of these incredible people. I hope everyone has a huge conference. Enjoy the week. Thank you very much.
And so Tim Cook wraps up the keynote at WWDC. Now the journalists get kicked out and the developers get to work in special sessions throughout the rest of the week. I think you're probably going to see a lot of pundits immediately start to write what a disappointment the keynote was because there was no new hardware. And yet I think if you're a developer or you understand the Apple ecosystem, you can see what a massive, massive announcement this was.
Almost everything they talked about was laying a powerful groundwork for developers to build, not just developers, but you know, look at the health stuff, look at the home automation stuff for entire industries to build the Apple ecosystem into something much more powerful.
Yeah. I mean, it's really providing that foundation, you know, and it's really building that whole ecosystem. Everyone talks about getting into the living room. I mean, they're getting into the whole house. You know, I mean, everything being tied, whether it's your computer, your iOS device, you know, everything is completely integrated. And I think that we'll probably see things like the Apple TV get pulled into that fold over time, you know, and a lot of other things being added that we're seeing today.
As some people are disappointed that there wasn't any hardware announced, but this is just, you know, it's setting it up for later in the year.
Exactly.
Yeah.
They didn't mention Beats. Not once. I mean, there was a phone call to
new.
Dr. Dre, a little wink wink, but I mean, mm-hmm. they didn't mention a lot of things and they didn't really need to.
Yeah, I think the key, you nailed it here, is Apple is telling, this is a developers conference, we warned you at the beginning, that's what you're going to hear, but what they told developers is Apple is doubling down on the ecosystem. They're opening it in key ways, which I think is very important. You can double down on the ecosystem without making it more closed. Mm-hmm. They're offering, you know, there were three main points to this keynote, a new version of OS X, which is, I would say, arguably a bigger improvement to OS X or bigger changes in OS X than we saw with Mavericks. Yeah. OS X Yosemite, which will be available free in the fall to Apple users, will feature a new UI that is very much a flat UI. But I think the biggest change is the change to Spotlight. Putting search everywhere, putting it in the middle of the screen, giving Spotlight the capability to search not only into emails, but to show the emails, to show maps along with it. This is a big, big shift in the way OS X works, and I think a smart move. They added along with that, of course, the new iCloud's offering, and implied effectively that iCloud would be everywhere available to all apps. And continuity is part of OS X, which is the ability to share what you're doing and even move it to a mobile device, to an iOS device that's in the same network. That's a big shift as well. And again, doubling down on the ecosystem. To play in this space, you've got to have an iPhone and an iPad.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think this is a big shot across the bow of Google, because so much of the things that we're so impressed with about Google, such as Google Now, Google Search, the Google's cloud offerings, they're just saying, okay, well, here's the Apple version of all of that stuff, and it's better because it's better integrated, and that's really what we're all about is integration. So we have all the power and the information and the convenience, but it's beautiful, it's integrated, and it all works together.
Well, and don't forget, the other point that Apple makes about better than Google is it's more private than Google, more secure than Google.
Exactly. I mean, what we're worried about is we're already seeing Google talking about running ads on the Nest. And Apple has basically cut them off at the pass. They're going to make it really easy for developers to build all these home automation, and this cuts Google off in a big way. Mm-hmm. You know, because you know they're going to say we're never going to run ads. We're going to charge you more. You're going to buy for the people who want to buy stuff and have it just work. And they're going to make it easier to develop for those things. I think Google has a lot of figuring out to do after this keynote.
I mean, Apple set this up by calling the Android ecosystem a toxic hellstew, and then somehow backed it up in a way. Touch ID for third-party apps, imagine, your own keyboards.
And imagine being able to walk up to your house, touch your phone, and the door opens in front of you. Yeah. You know, that's the...
Yeah. So part one was OS X, 10.10, Yosemite. And by the way, the pricing on iCloud Drive is very competitive with Google's own super low pricing. I have to say this is bad news for Dropbox. But Dropbox, remember, continues to serve an Android and a Windows crowd. This is going to be the Apple crowd, and the Apple crowd only, unless Apple makes some move to include these capabilities on other operating systems, and I don't see them doing that. So you're not out of business if you're Dropbox, but you can say goodbye to your Macintosh users probably in many cases.
And the issue is the Macintosh users are the most spendy. Right. I mean, you know, Apple has collected the 450 million people willing to buy for design, buy for convenience, so on and so forth. And that's the real issue that you have in the other ecosystems.
In addition to OS X, 10.10, iOS 8, lots of new features there as well. What are the key features? Sarah Lane, you cover iOS on iPad today and i5 for the iPhone. What did you see in iOS 8 that's exciting to you?
Well, like I said, the Touch ID is awesome.
Opening that API is huge, and I never expected they would do that.
I mean, imagine all the times on iPad today where you go, I have to log into Facebook. Crap, right. Never mind. I'm not going to do this right now. Touch ID would solve so many of those issues. The idea that you can, I mean, I have, 23 photo editing apps in a folder that I can just piggyback those from inside the camera app itself.
That is fantastic.
Absolutely incredible.
Yeah. What do they call it? Extensions? The capability of extending your application into other applications is very, very important. And something Apple has never done in the iPhone. So these are some big changes under the hood in iOS 8.
And it really cuts down on the switching between apps, which is not hard to do, but it's cumbersome. It's clunky. It has been for some time.
And again, many of these features are features Android has, but to do it elegantly and securely is something only Apple can do, and I think this is going to be very, very important.
And fundamentally, because Apple isn't doing advertising, there's a whole level of privacy that Apple provides when they build this, because that's not their business model, and it allows them to do a lot of things that a lot of the other folks building these aren't doing. I think also we should really look at that. Constantly saying console level graphics. Apple is going, I think that Apple's going to first go after it on the iPad, but I think we see an update this year with Apple TV that is going to, you know, an Apple TV, maybe it's $200, maybe it's $150, but the point is I can see that going head to head with the PlayStation, with the Xbox, so on and so forth.
And you know, you look at the car versus the truck metaphor, you really see iOS becoming the central operating system, even for power users now. I mean, this is a power user operating system. And OS X is for the superpower users, the professionals, the hardcore professionals, but you really see iOS being poised to take over as really the OS that matters.
In many ways, I think that they Apple's really viewing the OS X as the legacy that we're going to constantly tie you back to iOS, but you know, and we're not going to take it away.
Yep.
But I think that it's really a legacy solution that they keep on going. Obviously, most of the development work and the high performance is moving towards iOS.
And by the way, no mention of iBeacon, but iBeacon clearly kind of an important technology in all of this.
Well, a side note to all this is that what we are going to be hearing for the rest of the week is that the conference itself is heavily wired with iBeacons all over the place. So they're going to be showcasing it for developers. If you have the WWDC app, you're going to be using iBeacon.
The third part of the triumvirate, in some ways the most exciting for me, new changes to the coding platform, 4,000 new API calls, which, of course, will be devoted to iHome or whatever they call it, the home implementation to all of these new features, and a new programming language. For many years, Apple, in the earliest days of the Apple Macintosh, it was a Pascal-based programming language. And then with the acquisition of Next, they jumped to Objective-C, which was part of the Next Step OS. And in fact, OS X is heavily based on the Next Step, Open Step OS. Objective-C has been in use ever since then, as Craig said, 20 years now, and a lot of programmers learned it. It's basically a variant of C++ or C, but it has its own unique syntax. And of course, the Xcode IDE is arguably one of the best IDEs in the business and given away free by Apple to everybody who owns a Macintosh. Now they're moving to a new language called Swift, which combines some of the best features of interactive scripting languages like Ruby and Python with very high performance, better even than Objective-C itself. This is a significant change. Apple's developer site is down right now, and I presume that's because they're about to put up documentation for Swift. And I can tell you right now, there'll be a lot of people hitting that site very hard to see what Swift offers, to start learning the language. And speaking as somebody who enjoys programming as a hobby, that is a significant tool.
I can see a lot of schools, jumping into this because they already have iOS platforms that the students are using, and so being able to have the students building for that, I think, and making it easier and more interactive is going to.
So they do have now on at developer.apple.com. See what's new for developers. Learn about the new technologies in iOS 8, OS 10, Yosemite, and the new programming language, which will be part of Xcode 6. Developers at the conference are getting iOS 8. They didn't. Did they mention 10 Yosemite? I don't think they're getting bits for that.
I think they said that it was released
today. Oh, yeah, they did. Yep. That's right. Okay. So lots for developers to look at this conference this week. And then we'll all get this in the fall, presumably with new hardware. And I think it makes sense for Apple to separate the hardware announcements. There's a lot to absorb here, huge amount to absorb here.
Yeah.
And some very interesting new stuff. Anything you guys would like to say? Xcode 6 beta is apparently available. If you are a developer, I'll have to, the problem with being a developer is you're immediately NDA'd.
Mm-hmm.
So those of us who have developer accounts may be slow to talk about it.
Yeah, exactly.
Just looking at the very, very high level, they just took over two industries, health and home automation. Just like that, I think they've really become the dominant players in both of those, at least for now. And the second thing is that Apple's always been uncomfortable with having other companies be major parts of the Apple user experience. And they've really done a lot of sort of bringing that in. If you've been using Dropbox, well, you don't have to anymore because of this. If you've been using Google Drive, then you don't have to use that anymore. You can use this. If you've been using another programming language, well, now you use the Apple programming language. They really are trying to bring everything in here so that you never have to leave Apple-created products.
And the downside of that, of course, is that as users we lose choice. The upside of that is that as you continue to close that system, it's an easier place to operate for the developers. It's easier to operate for the users because you control the entire ecosystem. But it is makes difficult to, and Apple's using their size. I mean, Literally, those billions of dollars are being used to go, okay, we can do all of these things. And you can't imagine what next year, they'll just look at everything that's out there that's good, and they'll just add it into that ecosystem. But it'll be in that controlled ecosystem that Apple owns.
What's totally unclear is whether HomeKit will work with existing networks. It sounds like Apple's developing their own network protocol. They said they're working with leaders in home automation, and they showed on the screen some big names to give HomeKit a consistent network protocol.
I wouldn't be surprised, though, that that's a small update. If you look at a lot of the Zigbee-style things, there's one device that's really talking to all the devices. So I think a firmware update or possibly buying that one small device replaces everything. I don't think you have to replace every fixture.
A new hub that can speak
just
all the
languages. You need is a new hub, an updated hub to do it, and possibly even just an updated hub.
And the reality is that if you're going to launch a device that's part of a home automation thing, a lamp, a smart lamp or something like that, if you don't support Apple's ecosystem in some way, you're not going to make it. I mean, it's just that simple. All of these special purpose companies that do home automation, they're dispensable, but Apple is not dispensable. Android is almost indispensable, but really Apple is already the leader. So they talked about all these partners and it's all kumbaya, but you know they went to these companies and said, look, it's our way of the highway, so support our new system. Here it is.
And we're going to make it easy for you, and we're going to create one system that everyone's using, and we're going to, you know, I guarantee that these meetings are talking about the fact that the statistically the iOS users are spending more money. They're the ones that are going to buy this stuff. They're the ones that are looking for that. It's people like me who I've never been able to get a home automation system that I'm happy with because I want it to work with my iPhone. I want it to be easy. I want to be able to install it myself. I want all those things. I have a Nest, you know, and I have little bits and pieces of that. And now I'm just waiting. I'm literally, as an iOS user, I'm waiting to buy. I'm waiting. As soon as all the stuff starts coming out, I'm just going to start, you know, adding the locks and adding the lights and all the other stuff.
Well, and that's really the interesting point here, because somebody with a foot in both worlds, I, on the one hand, I don't like the idea of a closed proprietary ecosystem. I think that that's a bad thing in general.
Green.
And yet there are things Apple can do with it in terms of security and privacy that you can't do in an open ecosystem.
Right.
Apple does have market share sufficient to promote this. But at the same time, I hate to support something that is so proprietary and closed. But this is how you get people into it, by offering better functionality, easier usability. It makes it a very compelling choice. And I think for people like me who perhaps, you know, have jumped the fold and bought Android devices, they're going to be looking very hard at the next generation iPhone and iPad, at these next generation features. If it provides a smooth interface to home automation, if you have the continuity so you can go from your Macintosh desktop to your portable device in one smooth sweep.
Well, and you're going
to
be,
this is very compelling.
And with your Apple TV, you're going to say, you know, eventually you're going to, again, I just keep on going back to it, but that's in the living room. And it's like, you know, it's going to connect to my phone, and I'm going to make phone calls while I'm sitting in my living room. Those are all things, you know, that
if only anyone made phone calls anymore, exactly. Then this would really be a killer, killer feature. You know, the home automation thing makes me think more than ever that the mythical iWatch is right around the corner, because at home is maybe the one place where my phone isn't right on me. Yeah, it might be on the counter in the kitchen, or you want actually something that is connected to you.
The remote control. Especially,
right.
Especially with Siri integration on the iWatch,
too.
That would be killer. But yeah, it's really, you know, you mentioned you feel funny inside about, you didn't say it that way, about supporting a closed.
I essentially do feel funny inside.
Well, it's a closed operating, but that's part of the choice, right? We have a closed one for people who want closed, and we have an open one for people who want open. We have somewhere in the middle, there are going to be lots of options for home
automation. And I should point out that it's possible, all seems highly unlikely, that Apple will make this open. But remember, unlikely. They said FaceTime was open. They never opened it. I mean,
they didn't even say this was going to be open.
No, with this, they didn't even bother.
I
think it has to be closed, but I don't know for a fact. Assuming that that's how Apple will.
Well, iBeacon support, you know, Android support. iBeacon supports
is a
Android.
Standard.
Right. So, and iBeacon is inevitably going to be part of their home automation package, right? So that part of it, at least. And then, you know, the Wemos and the Belkins of the world, you know, the Belkins of the world can make their devices support both Android phones and iPhones, and also iBeacon. So even the Android devices can work with iBeacon. So I think home automation is going to be a mixed bag between open and close. And, you know, really the biggest problem with home automation is that everything is a la carte. That's the biggest problem. You can get your Belkin crock pot that's, you know, part of your home automation system, but then that's one app, and then you have, you know, another app for your Philips Hue, and then you have another app for, you know, and that's, it's crazy town. You can't
I suspect what Apple will do is kind of what they did with iTunes, which is we'll make it work with other devices. It'll work best if you use
And the thing
Apple.
Is, I don't think any of these devices are going to be exclusive. I mean, you can definitely build a hub that supports Zigbee and supports the Apple One. All Apple's saying is just add the protocols that allow our systems to work.
But with the strongest language I've ever seen in Apple keynote about Android, about toxic hell stew, I have to think that this is Apple throwing down the gauntlet to Google. We're going to find out in just a few weeks with Google I.O. what Google's response could be. And I imagine there are quite a few people in Mountain View who are scurrying around now to have a response. These are all areas where Google has put out feelers, has done a lot. Android's done a lot in this direction, but hasn't quite gelled, and I think it's an opportunity for Google to respond.
And I think this is the advantage that Google's had for a long time is their willingness to experiment. They're going to throw stuff out there. They're going to try it. They're going to constantly be getting response and making that decision. What Apple showed today is the advantage of owning the whole system and being, and having control of that and carefully putting all these pieces together. And I think that is the that's what we're seeing is the distinction of the two different approaches. And, when we look at some of the challenges that Google's had with some of their, their social networking and everything else, I think that there's, sometimes that experimentation can be difficult.
Let's not forget the challenges that Apple's had with cloud services.
And social networking.
And so I would close this by saying these are all very promising, very exciting technologies, but we haven't seen any implementations yet.
Right.
And the devil is in the details, and of course it has to work. Apple has not always been able to make this stuff work. But if they can, I think what Apple has proposed here is a big game changer for Apple users and in general for anybody who uses mobile technology. Apple has shown the way in many, many respects. It's very exciting.
You know what hasn't happened in a while? A bunch of people not knowing what was going to happen before it happened at an Apple event.
Yeah, none of the rumors were right.
Some of this stuff staying under wraps until literally the execs on stage unveiling it is that hasn't happened in years.
It's a little easier to keep developers at Apple quiet than it is to keep Chinese suppliers of hardware quiet.
Right. 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 Exactly.
And I think that there's Tim wields a fairly big stick when it comes to her internal leaks, and that's what you're seeing here. I am I'm very encouraged by this, and I'm really looking forward to a good competitive war this fall between Android, between iOS, and frankly, even between Microsoft. I think Microsoft has a play here as well. And of course, competition is good for everybody, no matter how you feel about any of these platforms. Anybody else have anything to add before we wrap this thing up?
Just one quick thing, going back to the beginning of the presentation. We have seen one thing that we've actually seen it, and that's the design of OS X. Yosemite, and that was beautiful. I thought that was a really appealing user interface, just visually.
I agree. Yeah. And I'm particularly excited about using the new search features. By the way, there's another example of Google out in the cold. It looks like Bing is going to be doing the back end. And it is a way for Apple to keep you away from Google. If you can get the Wikipedia, the knowledge graph, all of the information that you want without leaving the operating system, without even going on a browser, I think that's going to be very big for Apple.
And I still think 2015 or 2016, we see Apple with its own search engine. I think Apple, somewhere in the depths of those.
You've got to think they're doing it.
This is a huge part of their business that is external to Apple. I just don't see them leaving that out for forever.
OS X Yosemite out this fall. iOS 8 out this fall. A whole new developer framework. Xcode 6 using a new language, Swift, out this fall. What we don't know is what hardware will be out this fall, but I have a feeling this is going to be a very exciting time. I want to thank you for joining us in our special coverage of the WWDC keynote. Mike Elgin, TNT, Monday through Friday, 10 a.m. Pacific, 1 p.m. Eastern Time, 1700 UTC, your daily dose of tech news. I'm sure we'll see a lot more about this tomorrow and in the days to come. Thank you for being here, Mike. Appreciate it.
Thanks.
Alex Lindsay, MacBreak Weekly. You stick around. We got to do MacBreak Weekly in just a bit. Renee Ritchie and Andy Anacco and Jason Snell, I think Jason's involved, are heading up from the keynote, and they will be here as quickly as they can. No demo room to slow them down. So
we'll be tracking them with Find My Friends.
I think we'll see a quick stop at In-N-Out, and then they'll be on their way up here.
And June 19th, by the way, we're going to have the first online Final Cut user group. So we're bringing in some of the top guys and everything else. So just if you follow me on Twitter, I'll have more information.
At,
it's just
Alex Lindsay.
Yes,
Say why.
But it'll be it's a whole new approach to to user groups.
Sarah Lane and I will be back tomorrow with the iPad today at a special time. We've
10 a.m. Pacific.
No, 11 a.m.
Right. That.
But you could try, but I won't be here.
You won't be here.
1800 UTC.
Noted. Yes.
And, of course, you'll be back tonight with Tech News Tonight. And I'm sure you'll have a lot more about this. We'll have a chance to look at what the reaction is. I got to think there's going to be a lot of negatives from people who said, I wanted a Mac Mini. Yeah. I wanted, I don't know what they wanted.
Those are people who refuse to understand what a developer conference is.
Exactly.
That, you know, if you're just... You know, you want $1 million too, but you're not going to get it today.
But where's my pony? And thank you all for joining us. We will be back with more coverage. This is, of course, a Christmas day, but we've got later in the year, we've got probably at least one or two big announcements from Apple. We'll be back next with Google I.O. and live coverage of the keynote there. I think that will be just as interesting, just as exciting. And I expect a little bit of toxic hell.
Stew,
response to a Google's. There it is, toxic hell stool. Hell stool is something else.
I didn't really preview that before I threw it on the screen.
That's
sorry
okay.
about that.
Yeah,
that was I a toxic hell stool.
Yeah. We thank you for joining us, and we will see you next time with Anytime News Breaks right here at live.twit.tv. I'm Leo Laporte. Thanks for joining us. See you later.